From Yankee Stadium in New York, this is Chuck Thompson welcoming you to the third game of the 1960 World Series between the New York Yankees and the Pittsburgh Pirates. On behalf of your hosts, the General Motors Corporation and the Gillette Safety Razor Company. Yes, once again, yours truly, Chuck Thompson and Jack Quinlan, are ready for the third game of the 1960 World Series, a series that erupted in the first inning of its first day and then saw some of the most awesome power in series history in its second day, has now moved to Yankee Stadium. And with this move to New York has come a decided switch in favor of the New York Yankees of Casey Stengel. It seems that the overpowering display of the Yankees in the second game that saw the Bombers pulverize the Pirates with 16 runs and 19 hits, not to mention the 13 Yankee base knocks in a losing cause in the opener, has caused many of the experts to feel it is destined to be another Yankee series. Well, about that, I wouldn't know. About this, however, I am certain. You will never make a Pirate fan believe it. And if you try and sell it to Danny Murtaugh and his buckos, well, then you'd better be prepared to duck. The Pirates are not going to beat themselves, and of course, the Yankees got here the hard way, too. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and the accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. The weather conditions in New York for the playing of the third game are absolutely ideal, just as perfect as they were in Pittsburgh when the series got underway. The temperature is 61 degrees. Brilliant, sunshiny, bright Saturday afternoon in Yankee Stadium. A stadium that was built in 1923 after the Yankees had purchased Babe Ruth from the Boston Red Sox. Still one of the finest baseball parks in the big leagues. The triple-decker structure seats 67,500, but held 73,977 paid admissions for a 1956 World Series game. It is known, of course, as the House that Ruth built, and it has become synonymous with the Fall Baseball Classic. And of the 61 series games played in this stadium, the Yankees have a 672 average. They have won 41 ball games, have lost 20. And in Casey Stengel's regime, they have won 8 World Series. In 3 years, they did it by winning every series game played in their home park. Stengel has seen his pinstripe athletes take 19 of 27 series games in the second largest American League park. Only Cleveland's Municipal Stadium seats more fans. One of the interesting sidelights, of course, to the playing of this first game in the Yankee Stadium in New York is the fact that it was Casey Stengel, now manager of the New York Yankees, as a giant outfielder who started the Yankee Stadium home run script in the first World Series ever played here. He hit the first two. Babe Ruth's three homers in that series in 1923 were hit on the polo grounds. And Stengel's four baggers won the first game 5-4 and the third game 1-0. And here, some 37 years later, and Pepe for his 70 years, Stengel is still making World Series history. Since the stadium was built, the Yankees have now gained admission to 23 World Series, and in 10 of them, the old man Casey has been running the Yankees, and he took over their reins in 1949. The Yankees got in two series before they came to the stadium. There has been much talk, of course, about the overwhelming win in the second game, that perhaps we might talk even a little bit more about it. You could be interested in some of the things that have turned up about lopsided victories in more recent World Series games. I know that Jack Quinlan and myself promised ourselves that we would not delve too much into the record book, that perhaps you could get a little too heavy on the statistical side. I don't know what it is, but there is something about the World Series that sends almost everyone, baseball, radio, television, newspaper people, scurrying to the record book. So for what it is worth, in 1956, the Brooklyn Dodgers won the second game of the World Series by a score of 13-8 over the New York Yankees. That, incidentally, gave the Brooklyn Dodgers a 2-0 lead in the Classic. And who eventually won the World Series in 1956? Well, the Yankees won it, 4-3. Now, in 1957, you'll remember, the Yankees walloped the Milwaukee Braves 12-3 in the third game. And who do you suppose turned up winning that series in 57? Of course, it was the Braves, 4-3. And in 1958, didn't the Braves stomp the Yankees 13-5 in the second game? And, of course, the Yankees went on to win the series 4-3. And it was only last year that the Chicago White Sox opened the series with an 11-0 win over the L.A. Dodgers, only to lose the World Series to the Dodgers 4-2. So, over the last four World Series, the team that has been handed the worst shellacking in any one game has come on to win. And those who say the series is to end in New York this weekend could be right. But then again, the last six World Series winners have done it away from home. All of which goes to prove only, I guess, that we have the third game of the 1960 series coming up in just a few minutes. Some very interesting comments have come out of the second game in Pittsburgh when the Yankees handed the Pirates a 16-3 setback. Bob Turley, winner in game number two, said it was honestly more fun than pitching a no-hitter. Bob says that a pitcher just has to enjoy seeing that score go zooming up. And Bob also feels that a demonstration such as the one the Yankees put on Thursday is bound to have an effect on the opposition's pitching. Reasons Bob Turley to sit in the dugout and watch a teammate tossing up his finest stuff only to have it ripped all over the ballpark is something you don't forget about in a hurry. And how does it feel to be in the giving end? Well, Gil McDougal, who had 3-for-4, had an interesting comment to make. Said Gil, of course it's kind of nice to pile up the score and to win easy, especially in a World Series, but it's not all sunshine and roses. After a while, you begin to get a little bit apprehensive, and most players will begin to think about saving a few of those base knocks and runs for tomorrow, when you may need them most desperately. Gil, as do most players, remembers only too well the times that you get 4-for-4 one day, and then you can't buy a base hit the next day in perhaps what could be a 1-0 ball game. Now, how do the Pirates react to the 16-3 pacing that they received? Well, skipper Danny Murtaugh feels that if the Pirates had to lose, better they lose 16-3 than 1-0 or 3-2. For in the one-run defeat, there is usually one play, one pitch, one maneuver that can cost a game. And that will stay with a player or a team for a long time. This sometimes can, well, almost tear the heart out of a ball club and tighten them up to such an extent that they go on from there to beat themselves. Whereas in a 16-3 defeat, well, it's a good deal easier to toss it off as just one of those things. Speaking of the 16-3 defeat, here is the attitude of one of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Captain Dick Groat, who said, "We simply have to win the series now and get the big share of the money." Groat reasons that we brought all of our wives to New York, and while we worked out at Yankee Stadium yesterday, they visited the stores and had the bills ready when we returned to the hotel. And a ball player doesn't need much more of an incentive than that. The umpires have now made their appearance around home plate. Dick Groat is out presenting the lineup card for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And, of course, the old Professor Casey Stengel is out there on the scene for the New York Yankees. And I'm sure that you're well aware of the fact that it's Left-Handers Day at Yankee Stadium this afternoon, with Vinegar Bend Mizell starting for the Pittsburgh Pirates and Whitey Ford for the New York Yankees. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here at Yankee Stadium, before the playing of the third game of the World Series, here is Miss Lucy Monroe and the national anthem. Thank you. pause 10 seconds for station identification.
These are the General Electric stations, WGY, WGFM, Schenectady.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here are the starting lineups for the third game of the 1960 World Series. Game to all even, 1-1, and Ted Williams down below us, the splendid splitter who announced his retirement earlier this year in Boston. We'll toss out the first game, and here are the lineups. Leading off for the Pittsburgh Pirates, playing in center field, Bill Verdon. Verdon leading off in center field. Dick Grohl, batting number two at shortstop. Grohl, batting two at shortstop. Roberto Clemente, batting number three in right field. Clemente in right field. Batting number four, Dick Stewart, first baseman. Stewart, batting four, playing first base. Batting five, Gino Cimoli in left field. Cimoli in left field, batting five. The number six hitter, making his first World Series appearance with the Pirates, is Hal Smith. Smith, batting six and catching. Batting number seven and playing third base for Pittsburgh is Don Hope. Hope, batting number seven and playing third base. Batting eight and playing at second base, Bill Mazeroski. Mazeroski, batting eight and playing second base. And the pitcher is Vinegar Bend Mizell, the great big left-hander who, on the season for Pittsburgh, won 14 games and lost eight. For the home-standing New York Yankees, leading off in left field will be Bob Serve. Serve leading off playing left field. Batting number two, the right fielder, Roger Maris. Maris batting two playing right field. The Yankees now take the field. Batting number three will be Mickey Mantle, the center fielder. Mantle batting three in center field. Batting four, Bill Scourin, first baseman. Scourin batting four at first base. Batting five, Gil McDougald, third baseman. McDougald batting five, playing third base. Batting number six, Elston Howard, the Yankee catcher. Howard batting six and catching. Batting seven and playing second base, Bobby Richardson. Richardson batting seven and playing second base. The number eight batter, Tony Kubek, shortstop. Kubek batting number eight and playing short. And making his 13th start as a World Series hunter, Whitey Ford, who on the season for the Yankees won 12 games and lost nine. The umpires this afternoon at the plate will be from the National League, Bill Jackowski. At first base from the American League, Nestor Shylock. At second base from the National League, Dusty Bacchus. At third base from the American League, it'll be John Stevens. Down the left field foul line from the National League, Stan Landis. And on the right field foul line from the American League, Jim Hanacek. We are just moments away from the first pitch of the third game of the 1960 World Series, a series that stands all even at a game apiece. And now to bring you the first half of all of the action in this third game, it is my pleasure to turn the microphone over again to the fellow that we've all enjoyed so much through the 1960 series, the man from Chicago, Jack Quinlan. Jack?
Well, thank you very much, Chuck, and how you doing, baseball fans? Beautiful weather in New York City, 61 degrees, sunny, clear skies, and Whitey Ford is on the mound, ready to fire the first pitch of the ballgame to the center fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Bill Verdon. Verdon has had 1-for-8 in the first two games of the series, with one run driven in. Left-handed batter, during the season, Verdon hit .265. Ford winds and fires the first pitch down low for a ball, 1-0. Defensively, the Yankees have Bob Serve in left, Mickey Mantle in center, and Roger Maris in right. McDougald at third, Kubek at short, Richardson at second, and Scourin at first. Pitch swung on, tapped down the first base side, Weakley, Ford off the mound, has it, throws, he's out. Verdon caught the ball Weakley down the first base line, some 40 feet. Ford jumped off the rubber, grabbed the ball, and fired to Scourin, and there's one gone. It brings up the Pirate captain and shortstop and National League batting king for 1960, Dick Grohl. He's had 3-for-8 with one RBI in the first two games. Grohl led the league with a .325 average, hit two home runs during the season, and drove in 50 runs. Mammoth Yankee Stadium filled to capacity, and then some, standing room only. The windup, the pitch by Ford, it's a curve down low for a ball. Frank Osiak coaching at third, Mickey Verdon at first for the Pirates. For many of the Pirates, this is the first game they've ever played in Yankee Stadium. Here's the windup and the pitch. A curved strike under the belt on the inside corner. And the count is even on Grohl, a ball and a strike. On Thursday at Forbes Field, records were tied and records were broken, mainly by the Yankee attack. They won the ball game 16-3 after Pittsburgh took the opening game 6-4. Fastball inside to Groh, 2-1. The fellow on the mound for the Yankees, Whitey Ford, was brought up on the sidewalks of New York. During the season, Ford won 12 and lost 9 for the American League champions. Here's the 2-1 pitch now to right-handed batting Groh, to swing and a chopper to the right side. Richardson at second base on a high hop has it, throws to Skowron, two gone. So Groh is out, second to first. Brings up the buck right fielder, Roberto Clemente. Ford holds the record for the most World Series games started, 12. This is his 13th start in World Series play. In 6 years of series pitching, Whitey Ford has pitched a total of 77 innings, winning 5 series games, losing 4, and the pitch is a ball down low. And Ford's earned run average in those 12 previous series games is a very respectable 2.81. Matter of fact, he has a lifetime earned run average of 2.66. This year, he was slightly above 3 runs per 9 innings. Pitch to Clemente. Curve strike at the belt. Clemente looks back at the plate umpire, Joukowsky. Doesn't say anything. He just glanced at him quickly, and then just as suddenly, he looked away. 1-1 on Clemente with 2 out on the top of the first. No score. The ball game just minutes old. There's a big gap in left center between Mantle and serve. Here's a swing and a miss. He went all the way around. Ball went in strike two. Mickey is shaded in toward right center. Roger Maris in right. Bob serve playing left. 1-2 the count on Clemente with two gone. The windup, the pitch on the way. A swing and a miss on a curveball. He struck him out to retire the side. So it's 3 up and 3 down in the top half of the first inning for the Pirates. No runs, no hits, and nobody left on. And the score is the Pirates nothing, the Yankees nothing. Driver who drove me to the stadium today had a lot to say about the series and that Gillette Super Blue Blade. He just couldn't get over what a difference the Super Blue makes in his shaving comfort. If you use the new blade, you know what he means. If you haven't, you're missing out. Missing out on shaving speed and ease you may never have thought possible. And they're clean shaves, refreshing shaves, the kind that give you a lift. Today, for sure, pick up that money-saving offer Gillette has for you. A dispenser of Super Blue Blades, Gillette Super Speed Razor, and Modern Travel Case, all for only 89 cents. As you can well imagine, this is a limited offer. Super Blue Blades also come in dispensers of 10 for 69 cents or 15 for a dollar. Look for the Gillette display at a store near you. We go to the bottom of the first inning, and Bob Serve leads off for the Yankees. He'll be followed by Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle. On the mound for the Pirates is 30-year-old left-hander Vinegar Ben Mizell. The given name is Wilmer. He acquired the nickname Vinegar Ben because that's where he was born, in a town in Alabama named Vinegar Bend. He was brought up at Leakesville, Mississippi, but he now calls St. Louis, Missouri his home. Mizell is a fellow who started the National League season this year with the St. Louis Cardinals, winning 1 and losing 3 over there. He came to Pittsburgh where he won 12 and lost 5 and gave the Pirate pitching staff a boost that it needed. Serve hitting 253 for the 1960 season. Here's the pitch. It's a curve, a strike on the outside corner at the belt. Bob hit 14 home runs and drove in 40 runs. He's had 1-for-1 in the series. Big, strong right-handed batter, former football star at the University of Nebraska. Mizell winds, delivers 0-1 to serve. Check swing, but it's in there for a strike. 0-2. Defensively, Pittsburgh has Don Hoke at third, Dick Groh at short, Bill Mazeroski at second, and Dick Stewart playing first base. In the outfield, it's Gino Cimoli in left, Bill Burton in center, and Bob Clemente in right. Here's the pitch to serve. Here's a shot up the middle, base hit. Swung and hit a curveball right through the pitcher and out over second base, and there is hit number 1 in the ballgame, as serve leads off the bottom of the first inning with a single to center field. That brings up Roger Maris, the Yankee right fielder. He's had 4-for-9 in the series, 1 homer and 1 RBI. Now the Pirate outfield swings around to the right and plays him plenty deep. Down the right field line at Yankee Stadium, it's 296 feet. Down the left field line, 301. Big Mizell, 6'3", 205-pounder. He's into the stretch, facing the base runner at first base serve. The delivery to Maris, a ball, it's down low. Hal Smith is doing the catching for the Pirates. This is the first time we've looked at Smith in the series. Burgess caught the first two ball games at Pittsburgh. The Yankees, a rough club at home in 1960. They were tough to beat in their own backyard. In 77 games here at the stadium, the Yankees won 55 and lost only 22. Now Mizell backs off the rubber, rubs up a new baseball, bends down, gets a handful of dirt, rubs some of that dirt over the ball, gets some more dirt. Down here coaching the third for the Yankees, Frank Crisetti. In his 11th series as a coach, his 19th series as a player and coach, both series records. Ralph Houk is the first base coach for New York. 1-0 to Maris. It's a curve outside. 2-0 to Roger. Matter of fact, the Yankees held a season edge on all American League opponents this year. They whipped everybody more often than they were beaten by the other American League teams. They fattened up on Cleveland more than anybody else. 2-0 the count. Here's the pitch. Fastball low. 3-0 on Roger Maris. Mizell is a fellow who is mainly a curveball and breaking ball pitcher. He was brought up in the St. Louis Cardinal organization, and a few years ago, while he was still in the minors, the Cardinals referred to him as a left-handed Dizzy Dean. Here's the stretch. The pitch on the way. Strike hit the outside corner with a slider. 3-1. Mizell never had great success with the Cardinals. He was a good pitcher, but never an outstanding pitcher. As soon as he put on the Pirate uniform earlier this season, he became a standout. 3-1 pitch on the way. Strike two, outside corner again. 3-2 on Roger Maris. Well, in the first two games at Pittsburgh, the Yankee hitters were really in stride. They pounded out 20 runs and 32 hits. The Pirates had 9 runs and 21 hits in the first two ball games. Here's the stretch. A peg to first base and serve is right back in the hurry, and Stewart returns that ball to Mizell. During the course of the year, Mizell worked 30 and one-third consecutive scoreless innings in one period. 3-2 pitch, a swing and a very high pop ball off to the right. Here's the catcher, Smith, coming back. He's near the seats. He won't be able to get it. It lands in the aisle down here behind the Yankee dugout on the first base side. Our broadcasting booth here at Yankee Stadium is open. It's directly behind the plate, hanging from the lip of the mezzanine. A very good spot to see the ball game from. The Yankee dugout at first base over here to our right. The Pirate dugout on the third base side. 3-2 on Roger Maris. Serve single to open the inning. He's on first. There's nobody out. No score. 3-2 pitch. Swinging a fly ball. Well hit right field. Clemente goes back. He's going to make the catch. A one-handed grab. Here's the peg back to second. A fine play by Clemente, who broke with a crack of the bat and speared that hot line drive up against the auxiliary scoreboard in deep right center field. There's the ball. It was well tagged and caught by Clemente. It brings up Mickey Mantle, the great Yankee center fielder. He's had 2 hits in 7 at-bats in the World Series so far. Both those hits home runs. Both hits, both home runs hitting right-handed. 2 homers and 5 RBIs in the 16-3 Yankee victory 2 days ago at Forbes Field. Batting right-handed, of course, against Mizell. He takes a strike, a curveball, knee-high. 0-1. Serve on first, one out. The largest Yankee Stadium crowd during the season was 60,002 for a White Sox doubleheader on Sunday, July the 24th. There are more than that in the ballpark right now. I feel confident. Here's a ball that's high up around his head. 1-1 the count on Mantle. During the season, Mickey hit .276, led the American League in home runs with 40, and drove in 94 runs. No score at the bottom of the first. The Yankees at bat, they have Bob Serve on first with one out. 1-1 to Mantle. Mickey swings, hits the ground ball through the middle, a base hit to center field. Here's Serve pounding around second. He's on his way to third, and he'll go in standing up. Burton fires the ball into second base. Mantle singles up the middle for hit number 2 off Mizell. Now, the Bombers have runners on first and third with one out, and the batter is Moose Skowron, the Yankee first baseman. Skowron's had 4-for-10 in the series. He's driven in 2 Yankee runs so far in the first 2 games. Bill was the only 300 hitter among the Yankees during the course of the regular season. He hit .309, hit 26 home runs, and drove in 91 runs. The Yankees threatening in their half of the first inning. They have runners on first and third with only one man out. The plate umpire, Joukowsky of the National League, takes a look at the baseball that's being used and says it's all right. Gives it to Hal Smith, the Pirate catcher, and he flips it back out to Mizell. New York runners on first and third, one out in the bottom of the first, no score. Somoli deep in left, Burton deep in center, Clemente deep in right, Scourin a straightaway hitter. The pitch, high curveball, 1-0. There have only been four Pirates in previous World Series play, all ex-Dodgers, Somoli, Hoke, Rocky Nelson, and Clem Levine. Very few Pirates have played in this ballpark other than World Series or All-Star games. Here's the stretch. Pitch to Scourin. Swing and a ground ball and hit the center field. Here's serve scoring. Mantle around second. He's going to third. Look at him fly, and he's in standing. A run is in. The Yankees lead. Scourin singles to center field. The third single in the inning off of Mizell. And the Yankees lead by a score of 1-0 in their half of the first. Still only one out. Runners on first and third. Run number one. Hit number three off Mizell. It brings up the Yankee third baseman, Gil McDougal, who's had 3-for-6 in the World Series so far. Game three from Mammoth Yankee Stadium, and the Bombers lead 1-0 in the bottom of the first. Here's McDougal. During the year, Gil hit .259, 8 homers and 34 RBIs. The stretch by Mizell, Mantle on third, Scourin on first and one out. Curveball, it's inside, letter high, 1-0. Brilliant sunshine here in New York. The weatherman, again, deserves a medal, a pat on the old noggin. He's come through in good shape. Mizell stretching, delivering. A curve, it's down low. 2-0 on McDougal. Mizell made 32 starts during the course of the season with both the Cardinals and Pittsburgh, and he pitched 8 complete games. He had tremendous success against the Chicago Cubs, winning 6 and losing 1 against the Cubs during the year. Here's the pitch. Another ball inside. 3-0 on McDougal. Another bad one will load him up for Elston Howard. He's down here in the on-deck circle waving a bat around to the right of home plate. Mizell's earned run average for the year was 3.49, a little bit higher than that of his opponent today, Whitey Ford. 3-0 on McDougal. Runners at first and third. Here's the pitch. Fastball. Inside. He walked in. The bases are loaded. McDougal draws a walk on 4 straight bad pitches. And here's Pirate manager Danny Murtaugh coming out of the third base dugout and walking toward the mound. The Yankees have loaded the bases. Mantle is on third. Scourin is now on second. McDougal is on first. And the batter is Elston Howard. And right off the bat, Chuck, the fans in New York watching the first series game here are seeing the hometown boys off to a good start with one run in, the bases loaded, and still only one gone.
Jack, there has been activity in the Pirate bullpen, and we should explain to those who are not too familiar with the Yankee Stadium that it is impossible to identify the hurlers who are working in the bullpens because they are recessed. The bullpen runways run right in alongside of the left field side of the bleacher section and also the right field side of the bleacher section. And now I see that Danny Murtaugh has given a sign to umpire Stan Landis down the left field foul line, and Landis is on his way to the Pirate bullpen tucked away underneath the left center field bleachers here in this big Yankee Stadium. And it is apparent now that we are going to have a pitching change for the Pittsburgh Pirates. As the Yankees opened up with serve and a single to center field, Maris then racked one almost to the bullpen wall in right center, and Clemente made a dazzling running grab. But then back-to-back singles. Mantle singled into center field, serve took third base, Scourin then banged one right up the middle again, and serve scored to give the Yankees a 1-0 lead, and then the walk to McDougal on 4 pitches has loaded the bases. So we have McDougal at first, Scourin at second, and Mantle is the runner at third base, and from out of the Pirate bullpen now comes a new hurler. And the public address announcer makes known the fact that the new Pirate hurler will be Clem Levine.
And, Jack, we could say that Levine has been here before.
That he has. As a member of the Dodgers on several occasions, Levine was in the ballgame Thursday at Forbes Field. He worked two-thirds of an inning. He gave up five runs, allowed three hits, and he's coming on to rescue Mizell if he can here in the bottom half of the first inning. So Vinegar Bend worked one-third of an inning. He allowed at least one run, and all three Yankees on the bases now are the responsibility of Vinegar Bend. He walked one batter, and he gave up three hits, and Levine, a right-hander, has come on to try to get the side out. Well, there goes Mizell, headed for the showers. He's walking toward the foul line into the Pirate dugout here at third base. Vinegar Bend just didn't have it today here in the very first inning, the bottom half of it. The Yankees have knocked him out of the box. Now Levine is going to take a few warm-up tosses here. Levine, one of four Pirates who has seen previous World Series activity, and of course he saw that, that is before this year, as a member of the Dodgers. Last year with the L.A. Dodgers, and then previously before that with the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1953, 1955, and 1956. Clem was not involved in the decision on Thursday. That was Bob Friend's defeat. But in series play, in 11 ball games, including the one 2 days ago, Levine has won two and lost two. First man he'll face will be the Yankee catcher, Elston Howard. The Yankees, of course, had momentum going for them when the series got started on Wednesday. They had won 15 ball games in a row, which set a major league record for consecutive victories closing out a season. They won 19 of their last 21 in the stretch drive, and they clinched the pennant at Boston at Fenway Park on Sunday, September the 25th. That is also the same day that the Pirates clinched the National League flag, even though they lost at Milwaukee. The Cubs knocked off the St. Louis Cardinals and knocked the Cardinals out of contention to give the flag to Pittsburgh. Here's Elston Howard. He's had 3 for 6. He hit a pinch home run the other day. One homer and 3 RBIs. During the year, Howard hit .245 for the Yankees. 6 homers and 39 runs driven in. Runners on first, second, and third with one out. In the bottom of the first, the Yankees lead 1-0. Levine's first pitch, a slider on the outside corner at the belt. Strike one called. Clem Levine from Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Mantle, who singled, is on third. Scourin, who singled, is on second. McDougald, who walked, is at first. Pitch to Howard on the way. Curveball, he swings and he misses. What a cut he took. And what a curve Clem Levine broke off. Nothing in two on Howard. The ball game in the bottom of the first, the Yankees lead 1-0. They have the bases loaded with only one gone. Levine looks in to get the sign from Smith. He's winding. 0-2 to Elston Howard. Curveball tapped weakly down the third base line. They're letting it roll. Hope picks it up. Can't make a play and a run score. Don Hope charged in, picked up that slow hopper down the third base line. Mantle scored, and Howard has himself an infield hit and a run batted in. And the Yankees now lead 2-0. The run is charged to Mizell. Hit number 4 by the Yankees, number 1 off Levine. A little chopper down the third base line. Hope was playing deep. He charged in, picked up the ball, but could not throw anywhere as Mantle scored from third, and Howard is on first base with a single. McDougald is at second, and now Scourin is on third. So it's a 2-0 ball game. Base is still loaded, still one out, and here's Bobby Richardson, the Yankee second baseman. Here's the pitch. A ball, it's low, and outside, ball one. Richardson in the series has had 3 hits in 8 at-bats. With a couple of runs driven in. During the year, Bobby hit .252 for the Yankees, hit 1 homer and 26 runs driven in. Levine winding, big right-hander fires, a swing and a tap foul off here to the right. It's a ball and a strike. 2 runs in the bottom of the first. The Yankees lead 2-0 over Pittsburgh. Tomorrow's game will start 1 hour later than usual. We'll be on the air at 1:45 Eastern Daylight Time with Game 4 from Yankee Stadium. 1-1 the count on Bobby Richardson. The windup by Levine, and here's the pitch. A bunt foul off here to the left. Richardson bunting, and he fouled the ball off the handle on the ground to the left. Frank Crisetti, Yankee coach, picks it up. first World Series ever to be played here was back in 1923. Casey Stengel hit two home runs for the Giants in that series, winning the only two games from the Yankees, and then Casey was traded to Boston shortly thereafter. A ball and two strikes on Bobby Richardson with Kubek on deck. Levine rocks back and fires a high curveball, 2-2. Over the plate, but up around the nose. Two balls and two strikes. Yankees have them loaded up with one out. Two runs are in. They've had a walk and four hits so far in the inning. Mizell was KO'd. Levine in relief. Two balls, two strikes on Richardson. Clem windy now. Pirate right-hander fires a curve, swung on, and pop foul off to the left, curving back into the seats behind the third base dugout. The shadows of Yankee Stadium now have extended into right field, and they hide the right fielder Clemente. The right part of the infield is starting to be engulfed in shadows also. Two balls, two strikes. Richardson trying to get a hold of one to increase the Yankee lead. It's 2-0 New York. We're in the first. Levine winds, 2-2 pitch on the way. High curve, he almost hit him. Ball three and strike two. So it's a full count on little Bobby Richardson, one of the smallest men in baseball, but also one of the finest second basemen in the big leagues. 3-2 with one out. Clem Levine all set again. The windup, 3-2 pitch on the way. Fastball, pop foul back here. It's going to go into the upper deck above us. And a new baseball is handed to the Pirate catcher, Hal Smith. The New York Yankees out in front by two runs. Bases loaded, one out. Here's the windup by Levine. 3-2 pitch to Richardson. A swing and a fly ball. Well hit left field. Way back, 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 back. It's out of here. A grand slam home run. Bobby Richardson just hit a grand slam home run into the lower deck in left field, into the lower seats. Four more runs are in, and the Yankees lead 6-0. Man alive, did he bust that one. Richardson hit a 3-2 pitch, a fastball into the lower seats in left field. Two of those runs are charged to Mizell. The other two are charged to Clem Levine. And it's a 6-0 ball game. Hit number two off Levine. Runs number one and two. Here's Kubek taking a strike call. Fastball knee high. Richardson hit only one home run all season. But here in the bottom of the first inning in Game 3 at New York, he drilled one into the lower deck in left field. Curveball low and inside around the feet to Kubek. 1-1. Well, during the year, the Yankees hit 193 home runs to set an American League record. Here's the windup, and the 1-1 pitch to Kubek. Swinging a chopper over the mound. Second baseman Mazeroski to his right. Backhands the ball. Throws too late a hit. Tony Kubek chopped one over the pitcher's head. Mazeroski glided to his right. Backhanded the ball and fired, but much too late to Stewart. And Kubek is on with a hit. That's the third straight hit off of Levine and the sixth hit by the Yankees in the inning. It brings up the pitcher, Whitey Ford. The Yankees have batted around in the first inning. Ford, the ninth man to hit. Yankees 6, Pirates nothing. And again, the boys from Pittsburgh will have to try to come from behind. Kubek on first and one out. Here's the pitch to Ford. He's going to bunny, lays one foul off here to the left. Strike one. Kubek flying down to second base, makes it, and turns around and has to come back. The bunt attempt was foul over here to the left. The Yankees exploding for six runs in the first inning. Clem Levine, pitcher number two for the Pirates, out there trying to get the side out. He's into the stretch. Here's a peg to first base, and Kubek is back safely. Yankees, of course, wearing their familiar home uniforms, white with the blue pinstripes. 4 to number 16. Left-handed batter waiting. Here's the pitch. He takes strike call. Whitey did not shorten up on the bat, indicating he was going to try to lay one down. He looked on that pitch like he might be going to swing away. But he took it, and it's nothing and two. 6-0 Yankees in the bottom of the first at New York's Yankee Stadium. Kubek off the bag at first leads away. 0-2 to Whitey. Curveball, it's low. Ball one and strike two. Well, as I mentioned before, on Thursday, records were tied and some records were broken, and the way we're starting out, we may break a few more. Here's the stretch. 1-2 pitch. Curve. He bunts back to the mound. Levine goes to Groot, and he is out at second base, and then Groot is dumped by Kubek sliding in. But they made the play on the lead man. Kubek is forced out at second. Levine to the shortstop, Groot. Ford at first with a fielder's choice. Two gone now. And for the second time in the inning, here is Bob Serve, the leadoff man and Yankee left fielder. Serve started this onslaught with a single to center field. He was driven in short time later by Bill Scourin on a hit. Two out, Ford on first base. Six runs are in for the Yankees. Here's the pitch. Curve, low and outside. Ball one. Serve has a BS degree from the University of Nebraska. Big right-handed batter. Tremendous pair of legs. He was quite a football player. Here's the pitch. Curve, a swing and a miss by Serve. He went all the way around. This is the 10th Yankee to hit in the first inning. They've scored six times on six hits and a walk. Ford is on first base, two gone. The big blow, a grand slam homer by little Bobby Richardson. Here's the pitch to Serve. It's a ball. It's wide. It's 2-1 now. Two balls and one strike. Levine has the sign from Smith. He's all set into the stretch. 2-1 delivery on the way. A swing and a ground ball. A hit to left field in the hole between Hulk and Groot. Ford goes into second base and holds up there. And Serve has his second hit of the inning. Here comes Danny Murtaugh out again. This is the second trip here in this very first inning that Murtaugh has had to make to the mound. Well, they've had four hits off Levine and seven here in the inning so far. Bob Serve just singled for the second straight time, this time a ground ball in the hole, and we're going to get a new pitcher. The new pitcher's coming in. It's left-hander Fred Green. Walking in from the left field bullpen, he hasn't reached the skin part of the diamond yet. It's a long, long stroll. But I have a feeling that the stroll from the mound to the dugout for Clem Levine will be even longer because he lasted one-third of an inning. He allowed two runs, gave up four hits, and the two Yankee runners on base now are also the responsibility of Clem Levine. So Fred Green, who was also in the ballgame on Thursday at Forbes Field, becomes the third Pirate pitcher here in the very first inning at New York. Levine walks off the mound. He is headed for the Pirate dugout. Well, Clem was brought in to try to rescue Mizell, and Elston Howard greeted him with a slow hopper down the third baseline for a single that drove in a run, leaving the bases loaded. And when Levine ran the count to 3-2 on Bobby Richardson, the little Yankee second baseman was ready for him, and he drilled a 3-2 pitch into the left field seats for a grand slam home run. Kubek then beat out a hit over the pitcher's mound behind second. Ford punted into a force play, and then Bob Serve singled in the hole between third baseman Hoke and the shortstop Groat. And with that hit, it was the knockout blow for Levine and the entrance of Fred Green. Green was in the ballgame for one complete inning on Thursday at Forbes Field. He allowed four runs and three hits and was not as effective in that ball game as he had been during the course of the regular season for Danny Murtaugh. Here is Roger Maris, who lined to Clemente on a fine play earlier this inning. So Maris is the 11th man to bat in the inning for the Yankees. It's 6-0 New York. We're in the bottom of the first.
Left-hander Fred Green. Whitey Ford is at second. Bob serve on first. Two out. Big Green, a tall, lanky left-hander, 6'4". Here's the pitch to Maris. It's a ball down low. The Pirates worked out here yesterday. They flew over from Pittsburgh on Thursday night after the ball game, while the Yankees took the train and arrived yesterday morning. Green, the third pitcher used by the Pirates here in the bottom of the first. The Yankees lead 6-0. Here's the pitch to Maris. A swing and a high pop foul off to the left. Hal Smith, mask off, back near the screen. Has room. He's there. He caught it. And it retires the side. In the first inning, the Yankees score 6 runs on 7 hits. There were no Pirate errors, and 2 men are left on base. And at the end of 1 inning of play at Yankee Stadium, it's the New York Yankees 6 and the Pittsburgh Pirates nothing. Well, Bill Mazeroski and Bobby Richardson, both are fine second basemen, good at making the double play. Another ace at that is the Giants' Don Blasingame. There's a handsome lad for you, and one who's mighty careful about his appearance. He's a Gillette man for sure. Don says that Gillette adjustable razor makes shaving a downright cinch. Number 5 on that micrometer dial is just right for my skin and beard. The Gillette Adjustable suits everybody's skin and beard because it's specially designed for you to select the exact blade angle that's right for your particular requirements. Choose from one of 9 different numbered settings at a turn of the micrometer dial. It's easy. And what clean, refreshing, comfortable shaves you get. With your Gillette Adjustable, you get a supply of those sensational new Gillette Super Blue Blades everybody's talking about. It's the blade with the exclusive Gillette edges that are so keen, it's hard to believe you're really shaving. The razor and blades come in a streamlined travel case for only $1.95. A small price for such great shaves, believe me. The Yankees were at bat for 31 minutes in the bottom of the first inning. They scored 6 times. So we go to the top of the second, and Whitey Ford with a half a dozen runs in his back pocket, ready to work on first baseman Dick Stewart of the Pirates. Stewart has had 1-for-4 in the series so far. During the year, Dick hit .260 for the Bucks, hammered out 23 home runs, and drove in 83 runs. Ford fires a fastball, a strike on the outside corner, letter high. 0-1. Yankees 6, Pirates nothing. We're in the second. Ford winding. The 0-1 pitch to Stewart. Curveball, a swing, and a miss by Dick. He went all the way around. Ford pulled the string on a curveball, and Stewart took a whack at it. It looked as big as a balloon coming up, but when Dick pulled the trigger, there was nothing there but air. All he did was fan the breeze around the plate. Ford Winey, 0-2 pitch on the way. Here's a strike at the knees on the outside corner. Stewart is called out on strikes. Strikeout number 2 by Whitey Ford, and it brings up the Pirate left fielder, Gino Cimoli. He's had 2-for-4 with 1 RBI in the series so far. Gino, former Dodger, former Cardinal, hit .267 for the Pirates. Failed to hit a home run all year, the first time in 4 seasons that he hadn't hit at least 1 home run in the majors. He did drive in 28 runs. 1 out, nobody on, top of the second. Pirates trail 6-0. The pitch by Ford, a curveball popped up out behind short. Here's Mantle coming on, Kubek going out. Here's the left fielder, serve, making the catch at the last moment. Mantle and Kubek went after the ball, and left fielder Bob Serve made the catch at the last moment out there, and they're 2 men gone. Brings up catcher Hal Smith of the Pirates, another right-handed batter. This is Smith's first World Series appearance. He hit .295 during the season with 11 homers and 45 runs driven in. 2 out and nobody on. We're in the top half of the second. Yankees lead by 6 runs. Curve, it's low, ball one. Seems odd not to see Yogi Berra in the starting lineup. Yogi had played in 63 World Series games out of the 64 that have been played as a, well, he was a member of the Yankees. So this, if he doesn't get in the ball game today, it'll be 63 games out of 65 for Yogi since he's been a Yankee. Here's the 2-0 pitch on the way. Strike call right around the belt. 2-1 on Hal Smith. Beautiful sunny day in New York. 61 degrees at game time. May not be such a pretty day for those Pirates right now, though. Pitch swung on, top foul into the upper deck behind the plate. 2-2 on Hal Smith. Six to nothing Yankees. We're in the second. Two out and nobody on. Hal Smith up. McDougal, Kubek, Richardson scouring around the infield, talking it up. Ford Whitey, 2-2 pitch by Whitey, swinging a pop foul off here to the left. McDougal over near the box seat, backing up. He's going to have to lean in. He can't get it. It's about four or five rows up. And the count remains, two balls and two strikes. The breeze that's blowing here at Yankee Stadium is straight out toward left field from home plate. 461 feet to straightaway center field at the flagpole and monuments. 457 to left center. 407 feet to right center field. Tremendous ballpark. The most famous ballpark in all the world. 2-2 pitch. Swinging a very high fly ball. Short left. Kubek out. Serve in. Kubek calling. Serve says, I'll take it. Bob is there and makes the catch to retire the side. Again, three up and three down for Pittsburgh. In their half of the second, no runs, no hits, nobody left on. And the score at the end of 1.5 innings of play. The New York Yankees 6, the Pittsburgh Pirates nothing.
For the cool, refreshing lift you crave, try a Gillette Foamy Shave. Shaving cool and shaving wet. He's any kind of shaving yet. Shave Gillette.
When you're dragging, it's hard to top the refreshment you get with a Gillette Foamy Shaving Cream Shave. It drenches your beard with water, stays that way the whole shave through. Your razor floats over your face, leaves it clean, and you refreshed. What's more, Foamy contains K34, the antiseptic that destroys harmful bacteria. The regular size Foamy costs 79 cents, giant size 98 cents. For a switch, try Foamy with extra cooling menthol added. We go to the last half of the second inning, and Mickey Mantle will lead off for the Yankees. He singled to center field and scored a run in the first inning. The Yankees 6, the Pirates nothing. Batting right-handed in the series so far, Mantle has 3 for 3, two home runs and a single. Fred Green looks in to get the side. Here's the windup, and the first pitch to Mantle. A sharp-breaking curveball inside, 1-0. Mantle's first home run on Thursday was against this tall left-hander, Fred Green. A line drive into the lower deck at Forbes Field in right field with a man on. Here's the pitch to Mickey. A ball inside, 2-0. In the first inning, the Yankees scored 6 runs on 7 hits. Nobody on and nobody out. The bottom half of the second of New York. Fred Green, third Pirate pitcher of the ball game, gives him a curveball and he lines one to center. Burden comes on. He traps the ball on one bounce and Mantle's on with another hit. Mickey Mantle lines a single into center field. Hit number one off Green and hit number 8 by the New York Yankees. A line single that dropped out in front of Bill Burden, the Pirate center fielder. Here's Scourin. Moose single driving in the first Yankee run, and then he later scored himself. So Mantle's on first with nobody out. The ball game in the bottom of the second. Bill Scourin, native Chicagoan. Here's the pitch. Curve inside, gets by the catcher. Here's Mantle racing for second base. He holds up there. It's a wild pitch thrown by Fred Green, enabling Mantle to move to second base. Curveball was low and inside, broke into the dirt, and Smith was unable to trap it. Now the catcher, Smith, goes out. Going to talk to Fred Green. Well, the Yankees exploded in the first for 6 big runs. The Yankees, of course, had their answer to Bill Veeck's exploding scoreboard in June at Comiskey Park in Chicago. That board blows up only after White Sox home runs, so in the wake of home runs by Cleet, Boyer, and Mantle, the Yankees stood up in their dugout and waved sparklers. Here's the pitch. Low and inside again. 2-0 on Scourin. The White Sox planned a fireworks display here at Yankee Stadium later in the season in retaliation, but the word got out and the fire commissioner confiscated the Sox fireworks in the White Sox clubhouse. 2-0 on Bill Scourin. Pitch, swing, and a foul ball up against the into the upper deck down the right field line. 2-1. It's 6-0 Yankees, the ball game in the last half of the second. Game 3 of the 1960 World Series at New York. The Yankees have now hit 136 home runs in 138 World Series games. Here's the pitch. Swing and a foul back here, right in front of our broadcasting booth, and then it rolls back down the net. Chuck, you didn't show me much on that. I'd likely get killed on that one. 2-2. Mantle in scoring position at second. There's nobody out. Fred Green, third Pirate pitcher. Now the stretch. Here's the pitch. High curve up over his head, and Smith had to jump out of the catcher's box down here behind the plate. He looked like a jack-in-the-box leaping up for that one. Made a nice save. That ball came close to being another wild pitch. 3-2 on Moose Scourin, Yankee first baseman. Mantle at second base. There's nobody out. Mickey takes his lead, looking in to try to pick up a sign so he can flash it to the hitter. Now the 3-2 pitch to Scourin. Swing and a miss. It looked like Moose was trying to rip that ball to right field, and he went after a high outside curve and struck out. Strikeout number one against the Yankees. And it brings up the third baseman, Gil McDougall, who walked and scored in the first inning. Yankees 6, Pirates nothing. We're in the bottom of the second. Jack Quinlan and Chuck Thompson bringing you the play-by-play report from Yankee Stadium. The fourth game of the series will be unfolded here tomorrow, and the fifth game on Monday. If game 6 is necessary, it'll be back to Forbes Field next Wednesday afternoon in Pittsburgh. There goes Mantle to third, a swing and a miss, the throw to third, he is out at third base. Nice throw from the catcher, Smith, the third baseman, Don Hoke, right on target at third, and Mantle was nailed trying to steal third. While Mickey stole 14 bases in 17 attempts this year, as a matter of fact, up until now, he'd only been thrown out 14 times in his last 100 attempts. So it takes a good catcher and a quick play to nail him, and Smith threw a strike to Don Hoke, who was waiting as Mantle slid in. So they're two gone now with the bases empty and an 0-1 count on McDougall. Here's a swing and a curveball. He missed it for strike two. Mantle took off and headed for third, and Smith fired that ball to Hoke, and they got him sliding in. Two out and nobody on, the bottom of the second. Yankees 6, Pirates nothing. Well, so far in two games and in 1 2/3 innings of this baby, the Yankees have scored a total of 26 runs. And they have 40 base hits. Here's the pitch. Curve hit foul off to the left, over toward the Pirate dugout. Danny Whalen, the Pittsburgh trainer, seated on the far edge of the dugout on the next to last step, along with Lenny Levy, one of the Pirate coaches. 2 on McDougal with 2 out. Big Fred Green winding. Tall left-hander, lets her fly. Curve into the dirt of ball. 1-2. Oh, what a day we have in the Yankee Stadium, weather-wise. Just beautiful. Yankees 6, Pirates nothing. 1-2 on McDougal. Here's the pitch from Fred Green. In the dirt again, 2-2. In left field, Gino Cimoli. In center field, Bill Burton. And the right fielder's Bob Clementi. There's a 4-foot-high wall in left field over toward left center, and from the right field foul pole over into right center field near the Yankee bullpen. Now the windup, and the 2-2 pitch to McDougal. Swinging a line shot foul up against the box seats down the left field line. There's Stan Landis chasing the ball. It's going to be picked up out near the left field wall by Gino Cimoli. And the count remains even up on McDougal, 2 balls and 2 strikes. New baseball thrown out to Fred Green. He roughs it up in his hands. He tilts a little bit. Looks like the leaning tower of Pisa as he looks in to get his sign. He's lean and lanky. Now the windup and the 2-2 pitch again. A strike three called. McDougal is called out on strikes. He looked at a ball that hit the outside corner belt high. 2 strikeouts in the inning by Green. And for the Yankees in their half of the second, no runs, 1 hit, and nobody left on base. And at the end of 2... Well, there's some great fielders, of course, in any World Series. Fellas with sure hands. You talk about sure hands, you're bound to get around to the great Louis Aparicio of the White Sox. Louis sure about his throwing, running, fielding, and his shaving, too. He goes all out for the new Gillette Super Blue Blade. Well, I haven't met a man yet who doesn't think this is about the greatest thing that ever happened to shaving. We make no bounds about it. We want you to expect something great. Super Blue Edges get their amazingly sharp, smooth finish from a revolutionary new process that's exclusively Gillette's. Nobody else has it. And nobody has a bigger bargain today than Gillette's special trial offer in your local stores. Look what you get. A supply of Super Blue Blades with the modern Gillette Super Speed Razor in a handy travel case on sale right now for only 89 cents. They'll go fast, so pick up yours right away. You can also get Gillette Super Blue Blades in dispensers of 10 for 69 cents, 15 for a dollar. We go to the third inning. The Pirates send up the bottom of the order. Don Hoke, Bill Mazeroski, and Fred Green, the first 3 slated hitters. Hoke has had 2 for 6, a couple of doubles in the series. During the year, Don batted .282, hit 16 home runs, and he hit most of them in Forbes Field, a big ballpark, the biggest in the National League. He drove in 79 runs. Here's the pitch. Strike, letter high. Fastball from Ford. Ford has never won 20 ball games during any season. He's come close. He won 19 games once, and he's won 18 games twice. Slow curve swung on. Fly ball to left center. Mantle racing over and back. He's under the ball. He makes the catch. Hope flies to Mantle in left center field. And it brings up Mazeroski, the Pirates second baseman. Bill's had 3 out of 9, including 1 home run, and he's driven in 2 runs in the World Series. During the past season, manager Al Lopez of the White Sox charged that Ford threw a spitball. Whitey, of course, denied the charge and said, "When I play golf with Al in Florida during the winter, he carries 2 extra clubs in his bag, and I never complain. Here's a curve inside, a ball." 6-0 Yankees. The Pirates at bat in the top half of the third. Mazeroski, right-handed batter. .273 during the season with 11 home runs. The pitch from Whitey Ford. Fastball, strike, just under the belt. 1-1. First ball today was thrown out by a fellow who just announced his retirement from baseball, the great hitter from the Boston Red Sox, Ted Williams. Here's the pitch. Slow curve, tap to the mound. Here's Ford up with a ball. He's got to hurry. Throws in time. Mazeroski tapped that ball halfway between the plate and the mound. Ford, the pitcher, came down off the hill. Howard, the catcher, raced out in front of the plate. And for a moment, it looked like they were going to get their signals crossed up. But Ford made the play, picked the ball up, whirled and fired to Scourin, and got his man by a couple of steps. 2 gone. Whitey has now retired 8 Pirates in a row. They're 2 gone here in the top half of the third. Fred Green, the pitcher's up. Boy, this fellow's strike zone is about 6 feet high. 6'4" he stands. Here's the pitch. A ball low and inside. 1-0. Yankees out in front, 6-0. Here's the pitch. A strike. 1-1. Ford, with 2 strikeouts in this ballgame, needs only 5 to tie the record of the most strikeouts in a total series, 62 strikeouts, set by Allie Reynolds of the Yankees. Here's a ball down low. 2-1 on Big Fred Green. 2 out, nobody on, 3rd inning. Pirates haven't had a base runner yet. There have been 3 balls hit out of the infield. Mantle grabbed 1, Serve caught the other 2. Two balls and a strike, Fred Green waits. The windup, the pitch by Ford. Swing and a miss, 2-2. The opposing managers, Casey Stengel of the Yankees and Danny Murtaugh of the Pirates, have not definitely indicated who the pitchers in Game 4 tomorrow will be, but it's a pretty good bet that Ralph Terry will go for the Yankees. Here's the 2-2 pitch on the way. A tap foul behind the plate. The count remains the same, 2-2. Murtaugh indicated before the ballgame started today that he has his mind made up, but he hasn't made a public announcement. It probably will be left-hander Harvey Haddix or right-hander Vernon Law, the winning pitcher in Game 1. Two balls, two strikes on Fred Green with two out. Yankees lead 6-0. Here's the pitch. Curve, outside, ball three. Ford took a little step toward the dugout at first. He thought he had him struck out. And Joukowsky says, uh-uh, it was wide by an inch. 3-2. Whitey has the sign from Howard, rocks back, fires a swing and a line drive, backhanded by Kubek, going to his right. Fine play by Kubek on a sinking line drive, went to his right, and grabbed the ball backhanded just before it hit the ground. Three up and three down in the top half of the third for Pittsburgh, and Ford now has retired 9 bucks in a row. And at the end of 2.5 innings of play, it's the Yankees 6 and the Pirates nothing. Ball players are switching to a wonderful new spray deodorant by Gillette. It's called Right Guard, and it's a power spray deodorant. Just a tap of the nozzle, and you get a fine aerosol mist that gets right through to destroy odor-causing bacteria. 2 seconds gives you 24-hour protection. Here's a deodorant that feels pleasant, dries on contact. No messy creams or squeeze bottles that hit, miss, and drip. No sticky roll-ons. Right Guard checks perspiration, gives you the assurance of protection from one morning's bath to the next. And it smells clean, fresh, just right for men. Get Gillette's new Right Guard today in the bright copper-colored can at a store near you, only 89 cents. Right Guard, the power spray deodorant for men. We go to the bottom half of the third with Elston Howard, the Yankee catcher, leading off. He beat out a slow hopper down the third baseline, driving in a run back in the first inning. Green fires low and inside. Ball one. Elston Howard. This fella can play just about anywhere. Good catcher. And that's where he is in the lineup today, behind the plate. Pitch by Green. Strike at the knees. 1-1. Whitey Ford's 13th World Series start sets a new all-time record in this ballgame today. He's gone all the way, retiring 9 Pirates in a row against Mizell, Labine, and Fred Green. Here's a swing and a tap foul by Elston Howard on the ground to the right. A ball, 2 strikes. Oh, that Frank Crisetti, that third base coach, the many, many stories he can tell about the many, many series that he's been in, either as a Yankee player or coach. 19th series for Crisetti. Ball one, strike two. Boy, you just sit back and figure out, or try to figure out, the amount of money that Crisetti has made in World Series shares alone over 19 times. Time called now. Fred Green is going to have a little chat with his catcher, Smith, halfway between the mound and home plate. The ball game in the bottom of the third. The Yankees lead 6-0. Again, one of the first arrivals out here today was Baseball Commissioner Ford Frick. American League President Joe Cronin down here in the first base box seat just the other side of the Yankee dugout. Warren Giles of the National League over here at the third base side. Here's the pitch. Curve low and inside. 2-2 on Howard. Crisetti has made something like $110,000 in World Series shares since 1932. Here's a foul ball hit back on the right side into the crowd, out of play. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Yogi Berra has chalked up an awful lot of money in the bank from World Series play also. Better than $65,000. Elston Howard leading off in the bottom of the third. 2 balls, 2 strikes, the count on the right-handed batter. Fred Green winding. The tall left-hander fires. A swing and a high fly ball to left center. Here's Gino Cimoli coming in, glasses down under the ball and makes the catch. Left fielder Cimoli grabbed the ball. There's one out. Bobby Richardson now gets a hand for the grand slammer he hit in the first inning. Boy, for a little fella, he put some dynamite in that one. Hit only one home run all season long. The biggest one he's ever hit in his life was in the first inning here off Clem Labine. One out of nobody on. Here's Green winding. Pitched to little Bobby. A strike right over the plate, belt high. Richardson is the Yankee player rep at the tender age of 25. His predecessors were Tommy Henrick, Allie Reynolds, Jerry Coleman, and Bob Turley. Here's a curve down low. Richardson, during regular season play, in his entire career, including this year, had a total of 3 home runs. Hit 2 last year and 1 this season. Here's a curve, a swing and a miss, a breaking ball up around the shoulders. Ball 1 and strike 2 on Bobby. Yankees 6, Pirates nothing, the bottom of the third. Well, anybody who arrived a half an hour late missed the fireworks, because the Yankees were at bat for better than half an hour in the first inning. 1-2 on Richardson. Kubek on deck. Pitch by Fred Green. Swing a miss. He struck him out. Fouled that ball into the glove of Hal Smith. A foul tip and he hung on. Strikeout number 3 by Green. Here's Kubek, who beat out a hit over behind second base in the first inning. Tony's now had 7-for-12. His bat is red hot. Doesn't seem to make much difference who's pitching, right-hander, left-hander. He hits them all. 2 gone here in the last half of the third. The windup by Green and the pitch to Kubek. Swing and a tap. He didn't mean to swing. The ball hits his bat, dribble down the third baseline. Hoke up and makes the play to Stewart in time. Kubek tried to hold up on the swing, but he couldn't check it, and the ball was hit down the third baseline, and Hoke threw him out. So it's no runs, no hits, and nobody left on for the Yankees in their half of the third. And at the end of 3 complete innings of play at Yankee Stadium, it's the Yankees 6 and the Pirates nothing.
Oh, are you fixed for blades?
I mean the second.
Are you fixed for blades?
I mean Gillette.
Super Blue Blades by Gillette. Oh, give the quickest, cleanest shave a man can ever get. How are you fixed for blades?
I mean
Gillette. Super Blue Blades.
We go to the top of the fourth inning. The Pirates sending up the top of the batting order, Bill Burden, Dick Rhode, and Roberto Clemente. Ford has retired 9 bucks in a row through 3 innings of play. And he'll now work on center fielder Bill Burden, an ex-Yankee farmhand. Burden was thrown out on a tap down the first base line, back to the pitcher Ford, who made the play, leading off this ball game. Pirates trail 6-0. Here's Ford's first pitch. Curve inside, ball 1. Whitey had a great deal of success against the Baltimore Orioles this year. This was not Ford's best year. Here's the pitch. A curve inside again. But the little lefty was effective against Baltimore when the chips were down. He won 5 games from the Birds and lost 2. 2-0 the count on Bill Burden, the center fielder. The windup, the pitch by Ford on the way. High curveball, 3-0. Ford has the best one-loss percentage and the lowest earned run average of any active major league regular. In previous World Series play, Ford has 5 wins and 4 defeats and an earned run average of 2.81 in the annual Fall Classic. 3-0 to Burden. Strike call, 3-1. Burden up there trying to become the first Pittsburgh base runner of the ballgame. The Pirates trail 6-0. We're in the fourth inning. The windup by Ford.
3-1 pitch. Swinging a long belt to deep right. Here's the right fielder, Mirrors back. It is off the screen, above the scoreboard. Burden goes in standing with a double. Hit number one for Pittsburgh. There's the ball. It was well tagged by Bill Burden. A line drive shot over the head of Roger Maris off the top of the screen at the auxiliary scoreboard in front of the right field bleachers. A leadoff double by Burden, and the Pirate fans who have come over here from Pittsburgh by plane, train, bus, and automobile are hoping that that is the beginning of a Pirate attack. The first base runner of the day against Whitey Ford, a double by Burden. Here's Dick Groat, was thrown out by Bobby Richardson the first time up. Yankees 6, Pittsburgh nothing. The ball game in the top of the fourth at New York. Here's the pitch. Groat swings and hits one foul down the first base line. And a fan leans over the low railing and has himself a World Series souvenir. And those are hard to get. One strike on Groat. Dick, a good right field hitter, and that's the way the Yankee defense is set up right now. A big gap in left center between serve and mantle. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Curve, it's low and inside of all. Burden at second with nobody out. Pirate fans talking it up. They'd like to see Groat get a base hit to keep this thing going. Here's the pitch. A ball, it's outside, 2-1. Screwball that faded away from the right-handed batter. In the very first inning, the Yankees blew the lid off with a half a dozen runs. They lead 6-0. We're in the top of the fourth. Burden at second base, nobody out for the Pirates. Groat waits for the 2-1 pitch. It's on the way. Curveball, it's wide, ball three. Pirates took the first game Wednesday, 6-4. Yankees came back Thursday and pounded out a 16-3 victory. So whoever takes this baby moves one game up in the best 4 out of 7 series. 3 balls and a strike on Groat. The pitch by Ford on the way. Strike at the knees. 3-2. Won't be very long now. The shadow will have extended completely across the mound. Right now, Ford is working from sunshine into shade at the plate. 3 balls, 2 strikes, the stretch by Whitey. 3-2 pitch to Groat. Swinging a chopper to the left side. Here's the pitcher. Nice play. Ford fires the scour, and he's in time with it. He's out. Nice play by Whitey Ford, jumping off the mound and leaping over toward the foul line at third. He whirled and threw that ball to Scourin. And, of course, Burden had to hold at second base. One out with Burden at second. Here is Clemente, who struck out in the first inning. Yankees 6, Pirates nothing. Huge crowd here today. Attendance in 1960 in the major leagues increased 4% over last year. The National League drew better than 10.5 million fans. The American League drew over 9 million fans. A combined total this year in both leagues of almost 20 million people saw these major league teams in action around both leagues. Curveball, a strike on the outside corner to Clemente. 0-1. Burden led off the inning with a double. He's still out there at second base with one away. The ball game in the fourth, the Pirates trail 6-0. Clemente, good right field hitter. And left center's open. Here's a peg to second base. Richardson cut in behind the runner, and Ford almost threw it away. Bobby Richardson cut in behind Burden. Ford whirled and fired the ball out there, and he almost threw it into center field. Richardson had to lean back to his left from the area in which he had come from to grab that ball to keep it from going into center field. Ford again into the stretch. One strike to count on Clemente. Here's the pitch to Roberto. A swing and a tap down the first base line. It's foul, and it's going to be fielded there by the first base coach, Mickey Vernon. Well, there's a fellow who's familiar to American League fans here at Yankee Stadium. What a hitter he was. Former batting king in the American League.
and for a while was on the active list for Pittsburgh this year, but now is strictly a coach. He's down here in the first base coach's box. Two strikes on Clemente. The stretch by Ford and the 0-2 pitch on the way. Swinging a ground foul down the left field line past the third base coach, Frank Osiak. Well, the bunting and the flags that they use for the World Series at Yankee Stadium see an awful lot of use. So often they're hung around this huge ballpark. Here's the stretch. The pitch by Ford, swinging a pop foul back into the upper deck. Behind the plate, it's still 0-2. Burden at second, one out. We're in the fourth inning. The Yankees lead 6-0. Ford gets a new baseball, roughs it up in his hands. Whitey setting a World Series record with his 13th start in series play. Here's the pitch. Almost hit him with a fastball, and Clemente spun around like a top to get out of the way. There's a ball that was drilled in right at him. Clemente is one of the fellas in the National League who is hit quite often with pitch balls during the course of a season. He stands up close to the plate, and quite often he's a pretty good target. Here's the pitch by Ford. Here's a swing and a ground ball to third. McDougald up with it. A peg across the diamond to scour it in time, and again, Burton has to remain at second base. Two gone, and here's Stewart, who was called out on strikes the first time at bat today. So Clemente's thrown out, third to first. Bill Burden out there at second base, anxious to be drilled home. He's hoping that Stewart can do it. Two out now. Folks on the rooftops over there beyond the right field bleachers watching the game from about a block away from the park. And in center field also. Folks on the elevated platform, subway station out here also watching the game from a distant point. Here's the stretch, the pitch to Stewart. A swing and a tap foul off the meat hand of the catcher, Elston Howard. He couldn't grab it, but he got part of that ball on his thumb, I believe. Burden at second. Two gone. We're in the fourth. Here's the 1-2 pitch. A swing and a very high pop fly down the right field line. Maris charging the ball. He's in fair territory. Makes the catch. He had to reach back after almost overrunning the ball, but he caught that baby down the right field line some 15 or 20 feet fair. And it retires the Pirates with no runs. One hit, a leadoff double by Burden, and he is left on at second base. So, after 3.5 innings of play at New York, it's the Yankees 6, the Pirates nothing. Whitey Ford, the Yankee pitcher, will lead off in the last half of the fourth inning. He'll be followed by, the top of the order, Bob Serve and Roger Maris. On the mound for Pittsburgh is left-hander Fred Green. He came to Levine's rescue in the first after Levine had earlier relieved the starter, Vinegar Ben Mizell. Ford bunted into a force play the first time at bat today. Green fires over the plate, but low, ball one. Whitey, left-handed batter. Here's the pitch. A strike right over the plate. Under the belt. 1-1. Whitey brought up on the sidewalks of New York, but makes his home now at Lake Success. Where else? That's a great name, great town for a fellow like this who's had a tremendous career. Here's a line single into right center field for Ford, opening up the Yankee fourth inning. He drilled that ball between Burden and Clemente into right center field. And it's base hit number 2 off Fred Green and hit number 9 by the New York Yankees. Bob served the batter. In the first inning, he got 2 singles. So he's up for the third time today. Now, Chuck was mentioning earlier that the Pirates would like to win this series because of their wives going on a shopping tour the other day. Well, here's a fella, Serve, who'd like to be on the winning team also. He has 8 youngsters at home. Ford on first. There's nobody out. The bottom of the fourth, the Yankees lead by six. Here's a curve down low, ball one. Oh, these vendors in this ballpark are walking miles and miles today, peddling their wares. Green looking in to get the sign from Hal Smith. Now the stretch. Pitch to serve. A curve low and inside. Ball two. The Yankees have six runs on nine hits. The Pirates, no runs, one hit. A double by Burden. Fred Green. He was the able partner of Roy Face in the Pirate bullpen all during the year. Here's a strike hit the outside corner at the knees. 2-1 on serve. Serve waving that bat around. Serve is in his third series as a Yankee, though he spent three of his best big league seasons at Kansas City. Here's a pitch over the plate, but low. Ball three. Under the knees. Serve was acquired early this season as outfield protection and for right-handed pinch hitting chores, and he did his job very well for the Yankees. Whitey Ford on first base wearing that blue Yankee warm-up jacket. 3-1 on left fielder serve. Here's the pitch, the runner going, a swing and a chopper to the third baseman Hoke. No play at second, fires over to Stewart in time. Ford was going on the 3-1 pitch. The ball was hit to Hoke, the third baseman, on one high hop. He took a glance at second, saw that he had no play on the runner there, so he fired over to Stewart, and serve is retired. Hoke to Stewart. So there's a man at second with one out, and here's Roger Maris. Maris is 0-2. Lined out and fouled out to the catcher. Here's a fellow who joins a great line of Yankee outfielders, which has included the likes of Ruth. Here's a long drive, but it's fouled on the right field line into the upper deck. Ruth, Earl Combs, DiMaggio, Mantle. Prior to joining the Yankees, somebody labeled Maris as a streak hitter. They used to say this fella's either hitting 400 or he'll hit 200 for you. During his streaks. One strike to count. Curve, it's high up over his head. 1-1 on Roger Maris. Whitey Ford, the base runner at second base. One gone in the bottom of the fourth. The Yankees lead the Pirates 6-0 in Game 3 of the 1960 World Series at Yankee Stadium. The bleachers are loaded. Chuck and I arrived out here about 10 o'clock this morning, and the bleachers were practically full at that time. 1-1 to Maris. A ball that breaks away from him, 2-1. They were lined up last night waiting to buy those bleacher seats, and they filled them in a hurry. Hope, Grote, Mazeroski, Stewart around the Pirate infield. Yankees 6, Pittsburgh nothing, the bottom of the fourth. Maris, strong left-handed batter waiting. Here's the pitch. Curve, a swing and a foul back on the screen. And the count is even, 2 balls, 2 strikes. Maris wears a number 9 on his back. For quite a while during the course of the season, Roger led the American League in home runs. His teammate, Mickey Mantle, finally caught him and passed him by 1. Mickey had 40, Roger had 39. But Roger won the RBI title in the American League with 112. Here's the 2-2 pitch, a ball that's low. Ball three, strike two. The former president of the United States, Herbert Hoover, is making his way into Yankee Stadium, and he's receiving a standing ovation. Here's the 3-2 pitch, a swing and a ground ball to the second baseman, Mazeroski up with it. Here's the toss to first base in time, and they're two gone. So Maris is out, second to first, and on the play, Ford moves to third. That's going to bring up Mickey Mantle, who has 2-for-2. batting right-handed against left-hander Fred Green. Ford on third, two gone in the bottom of the fourth. The Yankees lead 6-0. Green looking in, getting his sign. Checks the runner at third, goes into the windup. The pitch to Mantle, a swing and a very high drive. Deep to left field, way back, way back. It's going to be out of here, a home run. Two more runs are in, and the Yankees now lead 8-0. Hit number three off Green. Runs number one and two off Fred Green. That is Mantle's third straight hit in this ballgame. Two singles and a home run. His third home run in the World Series. The second one off of Fred Green. And his sixth and seventh RBIs in the World Series. A tremendous blast into the lower seats in left field over the 402 side. When he hits them, they are really kissed. Here's Gowron with a single and a strikeout. Curve low and inside to Bill, ball one. Two runs in the bottom of the fourth on a two-run wallop by Mickey Mantle. And the Yankees now lead 8-0. That's Mantle's 14th World Series home run. Here's a line drive, a base hit to right field. Mazeroski leaped, he couldn't get it. Gowron is on with a single, his second hit, and hit number four off Fred Green. Mantle is now only one home run behind Babe Ruth's record World Series home run total of 15. Whoa, what power that Mantle has. Three home runs in the series, all three of them batting right-handed, two of them off Fred Green. 11 hits for the Yankees now. Scourin has his second hit. He's on first base, two out. Gil McDougald up. He's walked and scored a run, and the last time up, he was called out on strikes. Here's a pitch inside, almost hit him in the belt. Ball one. Yankee power. A grand slam homer by Richardson, and a two-run shot by Mickey Mantle so far today. New York leads it 8-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Scourin leads at first. Pitch to McDougal. Curveball, strike above the knees. 1-1 on Gil, Yankee veteran. So far in the World Series, McDougal has three hits in seven at-bats. Walking a strikeout today. Here's the 1-1 pitch, low and inside. Two balls and one strike. Two runs in on a single by Ford and a home run by Mickey Mantle. And then a follow-up single by Moose Scourin. He takes his lead. 2-1 pitch to McDougal. The swing and a ground ball. Weakly hit toward third. Hulk in. Here's the pickup. The throw while on the run. He's safe. He beat it out. Don Hulk had a tough play to make. He was charging down the third base line toward home plate. And threw that ball to Stewart while on the run toward the plate. And the peg was too late. And McDougal is on with another hit. That is five off Green and 12 by the Yankees. And here's Danny Murtaugh again coming to the mound. Four hits in this inning by the Yankees. A little chopper down the third baseline by McDougal. Murtaugh has signaled for another pitcher. Another pitcher is being brought in here. This is a right-hander, George Witt, walking in from the Pirate bullpen out here in left field. Fred Green worked a total of three innings. He allowed two runs, gave up five hits. He struck out three. And now right-hander George Witt, who was in the ballgame on Thursday and pitched one-third of an inning, allowing two hits, no runs, becomes the fourth Pittsburgh pitcher of this ballgame. First man he'll face will be Elston Howard. Well, four hits in this inning. Three singles and a home run by Mantle have produced two more runs so far, and the Yankees are now leading the Pirates by a score of 8-0. Witt has just reached the infield grass. He's walking toward the mound. He'll get the baseball here from Fred Green. He has tossed the ball by Green, and here's Big Fred headed for the clubhouse. to join the fellows who were on the mound in front of him, Vinegar Ben Mizell and Clem Levine. Plagued with a sore arm, Witt has seen just limited service in 1960, and he spent 2 months of the season with the Pirate Salt Lake City Farm in the Pacific Coast League. You'll recall just a couple of years ago, the season of 1958, Witt was a rookie sensation when he won 9 and lost 2, but he had arm trouble all through the 59 season and actually never has completely recovered from it. He came up with some brilliant clutch relief work, however, in the first game of the Labor Day doubleheader against Milwaukee, which was a must game for the Pirates. He did have some fine moments during the year, but he was used rather sparingly. Well, the first man he'll face will be the Yankee catcher, Elston Howard. And Chuck, again, these Yankees are using that those bats that carried them through to the American League pennant, and they continue it right here for, well, actually 3 ball games, even though they were beaten in the first game at Forbes Field. We're all set to go. Here's Howard stepping in. Elston has beat out a slow bounder down the third baseline for a hit, and he's flied to left fielder Cimoli. Scourin's at second. McDougald is on first. They're 2 gone in the bottom of the fourth. 2 runs are in. And the Yankees lead the Pirates 8-0. Now Witt, right-hander, all set. Here's the first pitch by George. It's a strike, a curveball that hit the outside corner belt high. 0-1. Frank Crosetti is going to have sore arms again tonight. He's been waving those Yanks around third base. Runners at first and second, 2 gone. Witt into the stretch. Pitch by George. High curve. One hopper to Hulk off his chest, and the bases are going to be loaded. A one hopper to Don Hulk. It bounced off his chest and rolled over to the left. And we'll see whether that is a hit or an error. Sharply hit ball, and it's a single for Elston Howard. The bases are loaded again. And here's Bobby Richardson, who hit a grand slam home run in the first and struck out in the third. Hit number 1 off Witt. Hit number 13 by the Yankees. Sharply hit ball and handcuffed third baseman Don Hulk. It was off his chest, and he couldn't pick it up. Scourin's at third. McDougal's at second. Elston Howard on first. 2 gone. Bobby Richardson, little fellow with a big bat. He proved it in the first inning today when he grand slammed off Clem Levine. Here's Witt with no windup, delivering a high curveball up around the head. Ball one. 8-0 Yankees. Bases loaded and 2 out. Witt, the second pitcher of the inning and the fourth of the game, used by Pirate manager Danny Murtaugh. The pitch to Bobby. A strike right over the plate, knee high. And the count is even, ball one and strike one. 5 hits in the inning. 4 singles and a home run by Mantle. Witt is not using a windup with the bases full. He just grabs the ball in front of his belt and lets her go. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Richardson. Curve line to hit the left field. Here's one run scoring. Here's McDougald racing home. And he's going to make it easily. 2 more runs are in. A 2-run single by Bobby Richardson into left field. Scoring, Scourin from third and McDougald from second base. And the Yankees now lead 10-0. Those 2 runs are charged to Fred Green. It's hit number 14 by the Yankees, and they're out in front of the Pirates, 10-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Bobby Richardson just drove in his 5th and 6th runs of the ball game, which breaks a record of 5 RBIs in one game that Mantle tied on Thursday at Forbes Field. 6 RBIs for Bobby Richardson today. A 2-run single and a grand slam home run earlier. Howard's at second base. Richardson is on first. And here's Kubek, the 9th man to hit in the inning for New York. He's 1-for-2. Here's the pitch. High, a ball. 1-0. Yankees batted around and then some in the first inning. And they batted around here in the fourth. Kubek, the 9th man to hit. 2 men on, 2 out, 4 runs in. Yankees lead 10-0 over the Pirates. Howard off second base. Bobby Richardson away from first. Pitch to Kubek. Behind him. Gets by the catcher. Here's Howard racing for third. He's going to hold up. There's Richardson going to second base. That's a wild pitch. It went behind the batter. Well, I don't know, Chuck, but that may be a World Series record, too, throwing a pitch behind the hitter. Right behind Kubek.
Well, it might be a World Series record, but you have to admit that Witt may have had a pretty good idea. The way the Yankees have been bombarding all of the pitchers, it would be reasonable to assume if he threw behind them, they might not be able to hit it.
Now they're going to put him on. They're going to load him up. Here's an intentional ball three. They're going to put Kubek on after getting behind him 2-0. Here is ball four. Tony tosses the bat aside. The bases are loaded again for the second time in this inning. Here's Whitey Ford up for the second time in the last half of the fourth. He started it all with a single to right field. He's the 10th man to hit in the inning. Yankees out in front 10-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning at New York's Yankee Stadium. Elston Howard on third. Bobby Richardson at second. Tony Kubek on first. Here's the pitch to Ford. It's a ball. It's high. 1-0. Witt has been using, mostly, breaking ball since he came in to relieve Fred Green in this inning. And he's given up two singles, thrown a wild pitch, and walked a man. Here's a high pop foul back here. It's into the upper deck above us. And the count on Ford is even now, ball one and strike one. 10 runs and 14 hits for the Yankees so far, and the ball game is only in the fourth inning. They lead 10-0. Witt trying to put out the Yankee attack here, which has been going ever since the first inning. Pitch, curve, foul, back on the screen, over to our left, and a count is a ball and two strikes. Ford started the rally in this inning with a solid poke to right field for a hit. And then after two were out, Mantle dropped one into the left field seats for a two-run homer. Scourin singled, McDougal singled, Howard singled, Richardson singled, and Kubek was given an intentional pass. And Ford's up for the second time in the inning. Pitch to Whitey. Curveball. Chopped to the right side. Here's Mazeroski in. He has the ball. Tosses to Stewart, and the side is retired finally. But in the inning, the Yankees scored 4 runs on 6 hits. There was 1 wild pitch. There was 1 walk. And 3 men were left on the bases. And so, fans, at the end of 4 full innings of play at New York's Yankee Stadium, it's the Yankees 10, the Pirates nothing. When a ball player's wife, and there are plenty of them here today, buys razor blades for her husband, what does she buy? Well, if I can judge from what the ball players say and what I see in the clubhouse, they buy Gillette Super Blue Blades by a wide, wide margin. That figures because since their introduction a few months ago, Gillette Super Blue Blades have won millions and millions and millions of new users. Why don't you treat yourself to a wonderful new experience? The amazing ease, the clean, refreshing shaves you get with this exceptional new blade. Shave so fast and easy, you may find it hard to believe you have a blade in your razor. Try it at a bargain. Today, get a dispenser of Gillette Super Blue Blades, a one-piece Gillette Super Speed razor, plus a streamlined travel case, all three for just 89 cents. Or buy Super Blue Blades separately in dispensers of 10 for 69 cents or 15 for a dollar. If you don't agree this blade does everything we say, we will refund the entire purchase price. We're going into the fifth inning of the ballgame with the Pirates coming to bat. Gino Cimoli, Hal Smith, and Don Hoke, the first three batters, to face Whitey Ford. Whitey out there in the mound has finished his warm-up throws, and he has in his back pocket a very comfortable 10-0 lead as the Pirates bat in the fifth. Cimoli hit a pop fly to Bob Serve the first time up. Ford has allowed just 1 hit in 4 innings, a double by Bill Burden. Here's Cimoli, the left fielder, a right-handed batter. And the pitch by Whitey Ford. A swing and a long drive deep to right field. It's curving. It's a foul ball in the lower seats down the right field line.
Right fielder Maris went after that ball, but it was out of reach up into the crowd. One strike. 10-0 Yankees. They've scored 30 runs in the first three games, with 46 base hits so far. Here's a ground ball to Richardson's left. The Yankee second baseman has it. Tosses to Scour, and there's one away. It'll bring up Hal Smith, the catcher. Smith hit a fly ball to serve his first time up. One out in the fifth. Pirates trail 10-0. Want to remind you again that the ball game tomorrow will start an hour later. 1:45 Eastern Daylight Time will be on the air. The windup by Whitey Ford. The pitch, strike right around the letters to Hal Smith, 0-1. Bobby Richardson has set a new World Series record with 6 RBIs in this ball game. Here's the pitch. Slow curve, low and outside. 1-1. One out and nobody on. Hal Smith, former American leaguer, he is no newcomer to this park. Here's the pitch to Smith. Curve, a ground ball off the bat handle to the shortstop Kubek. In he has it. Fires to Skarin, and Smith is out by 6 steps. Two gone. Ford, for the most part today, making these Pirates beat that ball into the ground. Two out. Here's Don Hope. Hit a fly ball to Mickey Mantle. First time at bat. Hoke, a right-handed batter. The Tiger of the Pirate Club this year. Here's a strike hit the outside corner between the letters and the belt. 0-1. Two out here in the top of the fifth inning. Pirates behind by 10 runs. The pitch by Whitey Ford. Curve, it's low. Into the dirt. 1-1. Ralph Terry tomorrow against either Law or Haddix for Pittsburgh. Of course, there's always the chance that Stengel may change his mind, too. Here's the windup. 1-1 to Don Hoke. Curveball high and outside. 2 balls and 1 strike. One of Casey's greatest moments, of course, came many years ago at Brooklyn when he bowed low to the plate umpire, took off his cap, and a sparrow flew out. He's done many strange things. 2-1 pitch to Hoke. Swinging a long drive, well hit to left field. Bob Serve racing back. He's near the wall. He's going to make the catch. He does to deep left field, and it retires Hoke and the Pirates in the fifth. No runs, no hits, nobody left on. And in 4 of the 5 innings, Ford has retired the Pirates 1-2-3. So at the end of 4.5 innings of play at Yankee Stadium, it's still the New York Yankees 10 and the Pittsburgh Pirates nothing.
This portion of the 1960 World Series is brought to you by General Motors.
Chances are you'll find your new car at GM, because there's more to choose from than when choice from GM.
Yes, you get solid General Motors value in every one of the GM cars for 61. Widest choice ever. Chevrolet and the new size Chevrolet, the Corvair. Pontiac and a new size Pontiac, the Tempest. Oldsmobile and a new size Oldsmobile, the F-85. Buick and a new size Buick, the Special. And Cadillac.
Value and choice from GM.
And remember, all of these great General Motors cars are backed by the new GM dealer warranty, which excludes only tires and those items recognized as normal maintenance. It provides the finest kind of protection for your investment during a full year or 12,000 miles of driving, whichever comes first. We go to the bottom of the fifth inning here at Yankee Stadium. With New York coming to bat, the top of the order, Bob Serve, Roger Maris, and Mickey Mantle. New York in front 10-0. And now I want to swing back the microphone to the voice of the Washington Senators, Chuck Thompson.
Thanks a lot, Jack, and good afternoon, everyone. George Witt, the Pirate right-hander, into the move now, deals a strike call to Bob Serve. He laid one in over the outside corner, up around the letters. Bob, this afternoon, singled to center field in the first inning, singled to left field again in that first inning. Then he went out on a bouncer to Don Hoke at third in the fourth. Swing and a foul ball in the dirt at the plate.
Two strikes to the big, powerfully built left fielder, Bob Sir. George Red Witt, who is the fourth Pirate hurler of the afternoon, into the move now. Two-strike offering coming to serve is up high on the ball. One ball and two strikes to Robert. Beautiful afternoon for baseball. And the Yankees pick up this Saturday afternoon where they left off in Pittsburgh. Curveball is cut out and the foul comes straight on back to the screen and serve. Swung himself right off his feet that time, dropped down to one knee. McCann of a ball and two strikes to serve will be followed by Roger Maris and then Mickey Mantle in that order. As the Yankees bat in the last half of the fifth inning and they're sailing along in front of the Buccaneers by a score of 10-0. Now the tall, lean Californian, Red Witt into the move now. The pitch coming down to serve. Swing and a miss, he struck him out. So serve goes down. That's the first out of the last half of the fifth inning. And Red has picked up his first strikeout. That'll bring around Roger Maris. Maris made a bid for an extra base hit in the first inning this afternoon. He sent a screaming liner deep down the alley in right center field, and Clemente got a good jump on the ball and made a fine grab out near the right center field wall to retire him. Then Maris fouled out to end the first inning and grounded out to second baseman Mazeroski in the fourth inning. Ball is up high to the left-handed swinger. Well, the story of the ballgame this afternoon at Yankee Stadium has been the tremendous hitting of the New York Yankees and the outstanding pitching of lefty Whitey Ford, who was working on a one-hitter. And the 1-0 is outside low to left-hand batting Maris. 2-0 now to Roger. The lone Pirate base hit in the ballgame so far was a leadoff double by Bill Verdon in the fourth inning, and then Ford went to work and stopped Grote, Clemente, and Stewart in order. And Burton died out there. Witt deals a pitch that's a strike call. Maris started to swing, seemed to check back in the swing, and took it. And Mr. Joukowsky says strike. 2-1 now to Maris. Maris had to stroll back and have a few words with the plate umpire, Joukowsky. Not a very serious dispute, however. Now, Witt, the Pirate right-hander, brings the arm down, delivers up high and inside, and Maris ducks back out of the way. 3-1. Polk, Grote, Mazeroski, Stewart around that Pirate infield this afternoon. Simoli in left, Purdon in center, Clemente in right field. George Witt deals 3-1 to Maris. It's high, ball four. So Maris picks up a base on balls, and that brings out Mickey Mantle, who hit his 14th World Series home run in the fourth inning. A towering blast about 12 to 15 rows back above the 402-foot sign out alongside the visiting bullpen in left field at Yankee Stadium. And now Mantle is batting as a left-hander. And by Mantle's own admission, he would much prefer being a right-handed batter and says that he will take it up with Stengel and try it next year. The pitch is a strike call over the inside corner of the letters to Mantle. Mantle has said, I never have been in such good condition, especially for the World Series. He said, if I could only hit anything left-handed, I'd be on top of the world mentally right now. All of Mantle's World Series hits have been right-handed. A ball is inside high. Went through the bender. Chased Mantle as a left-handed batter out of the box. One out of the inning, serve as a leadoff batter, struck out. Maris has drawn the base on balls. He's on at first base. Of course, Stewart, Pirate first baseman, backed off the bag. And the Pirate infield up a couple of steps in double play depth. Witt sets and deals. Slow curve, chip the corner of the inside, right at the letters, and the count now one ball, two strikes to Mantle. Mr. Witt really pulled the string on Mantle. One ball, two strikes. Now the look in for the side, and George Witt, the Pirate right-hander, ready to throw the Mantle. The 1-2 pitch is swung on. There's a long drive down at the right field corner hitting, and it may bounce into the seats and is a ground rule double.
A line drive ripped into the deep right field corner, and on the first hop, went loping back in about two or three rows, and that would be a ground rule double for Mickey Mantle, and his first left-handed World Series base hit. Around a third on the play, of course, goes Roger Maris. He holds there. And Mantle, this afternoon, is having what the ball players would call a pretty fair day. He has four hits in four at-bats, a pair of singles, a double, and a home run. One out. Yankee runners, second and third, and now the batter is Bill Skowron, who singled in the first inning to knock in a run, struck out in the second, and singled again to right field in the fourth inning. Pirate infield is drawn up about two steps back off the infield grass all the way around. Whip throw, slow curve, beat off the first base side. Charging Mazeroski has, checks the runners. And now they've got Mantle in a trap between second and third. Mazeroski chases over. He has Mantle running down. And now we've got the runner from third breaking to the plate. The throw comes to the plate, and the tag is put on the runner. He is out, and the other runners move up. Maris, coming in at the plate, was finally picked off as Mazeroski maneuvering to take advantage of the trap of Mantle between second and third. Finally forced Maris into the break for the plate, wheeled and threw to the catcher, Hal Smith, who put it on Maris coming home for the second out of the inning. And, of course, the runners will move up a notch, meaning Mantle, after being run down momentarily between second and third, now advances to third. And Skowron, on the rundown play, kept cruising right around to second base on the fielder's choice. But Maris is thrown out from Mazeroski to the catcher, Hal Smith, for the second out of the inning. When Mazeroski straightened up with the ball, he had Mantle trapped between second and third, and then ran right straight at Mantle. And finally, Maris made the break for the plate, and when he did, Mazeroski threw to catcher Hal Smith, who made the tag for the second out. That allowed Mantle to take possession of third, and Skowron, while it was going on, moved all the way around to second base. Two out now, runners at second and third, and the batter is Gil MacDougall. Back this afternoon, walked in the first inning. Slow curve, stays up high to the right-hand batter, ball one. After the walk to MacDougall in the first inning, Gil was called out on strikes in the second inning and then had an infield hit down third base way in the fourth inning that saw the Yankees score four more runs. The Yankees 10, Pirates nothing. George Witt throws, swinging a ground ball sharply hit to the right side of the third baseman. He's there, makes a good pickup. Now Hope's throw to first is in time to get MacDougall for the final out of the inning. In the Yankee half of the fifth inning, put down no runs, one base hit, no Pirate errors, and two men are left on. And the score now, at the end of five complete, the Yankees 10, the Pirates nothing.
Hey, Senor Stokes, why do you drive me to the bull ring?
Matador, I just couldn't wait to show you the Chevrolet. New size, used size Chevrolet. 60 wonderful Chevrolet. It's your car. If you're a man who wants value, this Chevrolet is your car.
Aficionados holler, ole, for my car.
It has power and sweep and comfort, of course.
Chevrolet's my car, or I'm a picador's horse.
Chances are you'll find your new car at GM, 'cause there's more to choose from.
I must drive away in this new Chevrolet. Adios, Senor Stokes.
Hey, what about that bull?
Let him get his own car.
For the Pittsburgh Pirates, here in the last half, or the top half of the sixth inning, Bill Mazeroski will be the leadoff batter against Whitey Ford. Maz, in the third inning, was thrown out by Ford. Leadoff hitter for the Pirates, top half of the sixth inning. The Yankees 10, the Pirates nothing. The pitch. Swing, and there's a line drive base hit to the left side of the shortstop and on through into center field. And Mazeroski has the Pirates' second hit. A sharply spiked single through to center field. And now we will have a pinch hitter for pitcher George Witt. Here is Gene Baker. He, in this 1960 World Series, has been in one ball game as a pinch hitter, appeared one time without a base hit, and hit for a .243 average in 33 games for the Pirates through the regular season. Gene Baker, right-handed batter. Came on as a pinch hitter in the second game in Pittsburgh and popped out to second. A right-handed swinger takes a strike called from Whitey Ford. Baker came into baseball with the Chicago Cubs.
and for a while was the part of the double play combination of Banks and Baker. Now the lead by Mazeroski, Whitey Ford throws. There's a punt attempt, but it's going to be fouled off the third base side. Two strikes now to Gene. Whitey Ford this year pitched no less than four shutouts against a team that threatened to comp the American League pennant this year, the surprising Baltimore Orioles. Two of those shutouts were authored by Ford alone, and two of the others he shared with Bobby Shantz and Ralph Terry. He went so far as to volunteer to pitch out of turn against the Orioles in the crucial series and turned in nothing less than a shutout. Two-strike pitch to Baker, swinging a long foul off the third base side into the upper deck and out of play. Two strikes to Baker. One of the unusual things about Ford and the shutout he pitched out of turn against Baltimore, it was just 2 days after he had pitched a shutout against the Washington Senators. Now your two-strike pitch to the right-hand batting pinch hitter, Gene Baker, batting for the Pirate pitcher, George Witt. None out, runner at first is Mazeroski. Ford throws, swinging a high foul out of play behind the plate. So Baker, as they would say, hangs in there and gets a piece of these offerings from Whitey Ford and is, of course, along the way, taking a few pitches out of the left-hander's arm. Mazeroski is on at first, and Descowron pays him little heed down that way. Now Ford, all ready to go, into the stretch, sets and throws. Ground ball hit off the first base side, to his right, charging is Scourd. He makes a pickup, throws to the pitcher covering at first, in time to get the pinch hitter Baker for the first out of the inning. Scourin to the pitcher, Whitey Ford covering. On the play, advanced Mazeroski to second base. One out now in the Pittsburgh half of the sixth inning. And here is leadoff hitter Bill Burden. Burden rammed a double off the wall in deep right center. And incidentally, on that particular play, Yankee right fielder Roger Maris played the carom or the rebound perfectly, or it may have been more than a double for Bill Burden. Now with one out, and Mazeroski halfway around, Burden, a southpaw swinger, waits the first offering from Whitey Ford. The set and the pitch. It's too high to Burden. Ball one. Whitey Ford pitching another of his very strong efforts. He has allowed but two Pirate base hits. Now the pitch to Burden is low and away and a ball. 2-0 now to Burden. Posted on the big scoreboard in right center field is a sign now that informs that Mandel has tied the all-time series record, four hits in one game. The pitch to Burden is inside, and the left-hand hitter backs out of the way. Three balls, no strikes now to Burden. Mandel with a pair of singles, a home run, and a double. Four hits in one game has tied the all-time series record. And now your 3-0 pitch to Burden. He takes a look at it all the way, and it's in for the strike. 3-1 now. Burden now taking a quick glance down third baseway to Coach Frank Osiak, who will buy a wigwag, let him know what's expected of him on the 3-1 pitch from Whitey Ford, and here it is. Swing and a miss. Well, they took the wraps off Bill that time, and he was cutting all the way. 3-2. Three balls, two strikes to the Pirate center fielder, Bill Burden. And Whitey Ford ready to throw. He does. Ground ball hit off the first base side, waiting a second baseman, Richardson. He makes the grab, throws to first, and that'll be the second out of the inning. Burden grounds out to Richardson at second, and on the play, Mazeroski moves into third. Two down now, and the batter will be the Pirate captain, Dick Grove. Grove this afternoon has gone out on a ground ball to Bobby Richardson, and then a dandy fielding play by Whitey Ford got him in the fourth inning. The The Yankees have 10 runs on 15 hits this afternoon. The Pirates so far have failed to score and have but two hits. Right-hand batting Grode waiting the first pitch from the southpaw Whitey Ford into the move now, and here's the first one. A ball is inside to Grode. Well, the Pirates, throughout the course of the 1960 season, have made it a practice of bouncing back after rough treatment. Now the 1-0 pitch to Grode is a good breaking ball in, and the strike is called. 1-1 to Grode as Whitey Ford dropped that good curveball in on the Pirate shortstop. Mazeroski, standing alongside the bag at third, walks off in foul territory, a little bigger lead, and Ford goes to the move, delivers, swinging a ground ball, slowly hit third base way. McDougal charges, gloved hand pickup, quick throw to first, and that's all for Grode. He is the final out of the inning for the Pirates in the top of the sixth. No runs, one base hit, no Yankee errors, one man left, and now at the end of 5 1/2 innings of play, the score, the Yankees 10 and the Pirates nothing.
Value and joy from GM.
The sleek new 1961 Pontiac is comfort designed to give you more headroom, legroom, footroom. It's all Pontiac on a wide track. Powered by the new Pontiac Trophy V8 engine with a new gas-saving fuel induction system. See the new Wide Track 61 Pontiac at your quality Pontiac dealers.
A new Pirate hurler on the scene now. This will be for Pittsburgh, their fifth pitcher of the afternoon. It'll be right-hander Tom Cheney, who worked in 11 games for the Pirates this year, started 8, and completed one of those, had an even record of 2 wins and 2 defeats on the year. Tom Cheney. And in World Series competition this year, Cheney made one appearance. He pitched one full inning, allowed one base hit, gave up one run, walked a batter, and struck out 2. Cheney, a tall right-hander, finished up the ball game that saw the Yankees defeat the Pittsburgh Pirates 16-3 in game number 2. Cheney on the mound now replaces George Witt, who pitched an inning and the third and was touched for 3 base hits. Walked 1, struck out 1. And did not allow a run. All ready to go now for the New York Yankees to lead off in the last of the sixth inning. Here is right-hand batting Elston Howard. Tom Cheney deals a fastball that's inside for a ball. 1-0 now to Elston. And the next offering is cut on and missed. 1-1. Cheney, a right-hander with a pretty good free, fluid sort of a motion, reaches back and fires that fastball. 1-1 now to Elston Howard, leadoff hitter for the Yankees. In the last of the sixth inning, the Yankees 10, Pirates nothing. Breaking ball, low and outside on the count of 2-1. Cheney was brought up to the Pirates from their Columbus, Ohio farm in the International League in July and won 2 of his first 3 starts for the Pirates, including a 5-0 shutout over Cincinnati. Swing and a high foul ball back out of play. Saw the count to Elston Howard now. 2-2. Cheney, incidentally, was part of the deal with the St. Louis Cardinals that brought Gino Cimoli to Pittsburgh in a trade for Pirate hurler Ronnie Klein. Now the 2-2 pitch coming down to Elston Howard, who has 2 hits this afternoon and 3 trips. Cheney throws, swing, and a miss. Strike 3, he's out of there. So Cheney notches a strikeout. Cheney's fastball appears to be a pretty good sinker, as if the right-hander, and getting right up on top of the ball, kind of turns it over a little bit, and it seems to be going down. 1 out now, and here is Bobby Richardson, who established today a new World Series record for 6 runs batted in a single game. Ball one, low and outside to Bob. Richardson hit a grand slam home run in the first inning to knock in his first four, and then a single to left field in the fourth inning drove in two more. What a series for this likable Yankee second baseman. And the pitch, swing and a high fly ball, center field, drifting to his left and now backing is Bill Burden, shading his eyes with a glove. He makes the catch for the second out of the inning. Richardson flies out to the center fielder, Bill Burden. Now here is Tony Kubek. Kubek had an infield hit of the first inning. Then in the third inning, he went out on a grounder to Don Holt, the third baseman. Walked in the fourth inning. All ready to go now. Tom Chaney into the move, and the Pirate right-hander throws. Down low inside to the southpaw hitter. Ball one. The Yanks have had two big innings this afternoon. In the first inning, they exploded for six runs, and then they added four more in the fourth. Kubek swings, and a foul ball is drifting out of play behind the plate. One and one to Tony Kubek. Two out, none on, in the Yankee half of the sixth inning. And the shadows of the grandstand that Jack mentioned earlier now have completely covered the pitching mound and the first base side of the infield, leaving but four of the Pirates out on the sunshine now. Third baseman Hope, shortstop Grote, center fielder Burden, and the left fielder Simoldi. And the 1-1 pitch to Kubek. It's high for a ball. 2-1. Kubek now has seven base hits in this World Series in three games. And the record in a six-game series is held by a former Yankee, Billy Martin, with 12. Now the 2-1 pitch to Kubek. He swings, fly ball, lazing in the left field. Simoldi breaking a little late, now comes on and makes the grab for the final out of the inning. Kubek flies out to left. The Yankees are three up and three down. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. Score at the end of six, the Yankees 10 and the Pirates nothing.
Where did you come from? I didn't see anybody come in.
That's how it is with us leprechauns.
Leprechauns?
Aye. And will you be kind enough to show me one of them new cars? One that likes a bit of action, like dancing in the moonlight, you know?
Why, yes, sir. I've got just the car. Oldsmobile for 61. The action line in performance and design. It's your car. With value that only Olds could achieve. It's your car.
You just have to see one, and then you'll believe it's my car.
With styling to please either he folk or she folk.
And room for 100 or more of us wee folk.
Chances are you'll find your new car at GM. Cause there's more to choose from. Value and joy for GM.
And will you pay cash for your new old, sir?
Well, just now I'm a little bit overdrawn at the end of the rainbow. So would you just put one of them nice cars away?
Roberto Clemente will lead off against the Yankees' Whitey Ford in the top of the seventh inning, and Casey Stengel has made another change in the Yankee outfield. He's put out there the fellow that Casey many times refers to as my other manager, Yogi Berra. Here is Clemente, who has spanned and bounced out to third in two at-bats. Clemente, one of the most exciting players the Pirates have had in quite a while, waits the first one, swings, and a foul ball is going to be out of play, behind the plate. Strike one to Clemente. Well, the Pirates are faced with that tough task of bouncing back again. They have been a very consistent ball club throughout the year, have never had a losing streak any longer than four games, and on both of those occasions, it was Vernon Law who stopped the skid. Pitch to Clemente, swing and a high fly ball, hit fairly deep to right. Back goes Berra, near the warning track. He's under it now, and the Yankee right fielder has it. For the first out of the Pirate half of the seventh inning, and this partisan crowd here at Yankee Stadium gives Yogi quite an ovation. Now the batter will be Pirate first baseman Dick Stewart, who was fooled and called out on strikes in the second inning, and then flied out to the right field. There is the outside possibility that Yankee right fielder Maris may have been injured slightly in the collision with the catcher Hal Smith in the fifth inning. Now Stewart waiting the first one. Ford delivers a curve and it's hit right back through the middle of center field for a base knock. Ford kind of let up on the curveball a little bit, but it hung out there. And Stewart rammed it back through the middle for the Pirates' third hit of the afternoon. It has now been officially stated from the press box at Yankee Stadium that Roger Maris did bruise his side in that collision at home plate. And thereby, Vera has become the Yankee right fielder. The batter, Gino Cimoli. The pitch is too high to Gino for a ball. Gino, a very likable young man from San Francisco. The lights have been turned on here at Yankee Stadium as we started the seventh inning. Cimoli flat out to left in the second inning and grounded out to second in the fifth inning. He has two World Series hits in four previous at-bats. The pitch is inside of the right-hander and the count now 2-0. Cimoli, a right-handed batter, is played to the opposite field by Yankee center fielder Mantle, who is favoring right center field. Vera is kind of straight away in deep in right field, gives Cimoli a lot of the foul line to shoot at. Pitch, swinging a ground foul behind the plate, just missed going into the Yankee dugout off the first base side. 2-1 now. Bob Serve, the Yankee left fielder, gives Cimoli all he needs in foul territory or toward the foul line down the left field side as Serve is shaded around toward left center field. Now the 2-1 to Cimoli. A let-up stays high for a ball. 3-1 now. One away. Clementi opened the inning, flying out to Barron right. Stewart then hammered a single back through the middle to center field. Stewart leads first, and the 3-1 to Cimoli is high and away for a ball four. And Whitey Ford has issued his first walk of the afternoon. Stewart moves into second base on the walk to Gino Cimoli. Whitey Ford this afternoon, pitching a most strong ball game, has walked but one batter and has fanned two, and the Pirates have been able to touch him for but three base hits, two singles, and a leadoff double by Burton in the fourth inning. And now here's Hal Smith. He looks, and it's in there for a strike call. Smith, the Pirate catcher, flied out to left in the second and bounced out to the shortstop in the fifth. 10-0, the Yankees in front of the Pirates. The Pirates now with runners at first and second and one away. The pitch to Smith, ground ball is pulled foul outside of third. And the count, two strikes. To the former house painter from Detroit. In the offseason, Hal used to help his daddy in work of that sort. Touching up the old house, and right now, Smitty would like to touch up Whitey Ford, if possible. Two strikes, the count to the Pirate catcher. Right-hand hitter leans in over the plate. Ford throws. He's low. Ball one. 1-2. One away on the Pirate half of the seventh. Runners leading first and second base. The 1-2 pitch coming down to Smith. Ground ball hit right back to the pitcher. Ford's got it. The throw goes to second. That's one out. Back to first. It's a Yankee double play. 1-4-3 from the pitcher to the second baseman covering. Back to the first baseman. And so the Pirates in the seventh inning, no runs, one base hit, no Yankee errors, one man left. And the score at the end of 6 1/2 innings of play, the New York Yankees 10, the Pittsburgh Pirates nothing.
Now, for 1961, the magnificent new Cadillac, world's most distinguished motor car. A car of matchless performance sculpted in a new trimness and crispness of line and silhouette. Cadillac for 1961, a new inspiration for the motoring world. Thrill to the new 61 Cadillac at your quality Cadillac dealers.
Drop in and see the new Cadillac now. And here's something every motorist should know, exclusive
GM Guardian Maintenance, which means factory-trained mechanics giving educated service with factory-approved parts and the most modern equipment. Take your car or truck to your GM dealer for Guardian Maintenance. In the last half of the seventh inning, Whitey Ford will be the leadoff batter for the Yankees, and he should get a warm stadium welcome. And speaking of World Series welcomes, on the scoreboard in center field now, reads the sign, World Series welcome to the Indian Prime Minister Nehru. Who is here watching the third game of the series between the Pirates and the Yankees. Here is Whitey Ford. He looks at Cheney's first offering and is right down the pipe. Or perhaps if you're in New York, you should say right up Broadway, strike one. Ford helped himself to a base knock back in the fourth inning and scored a run. The pitch is too high to Ford, who bats him as he throws him from the first base side. One and one. Tom Cheney, the fifth Pirate hurler to see service this afternoon. Now the 1-1 pitch to the crouching left-hand batting Ford. It's a strike call as Cheney leaned on that fastball, got it over the outside corner of the letters. 1-2. Ford looks at a breaking ball that held high, and the count now is 2-2. Cheney came into the ball game in the sixth inning and retired three Yankees in order, Howard, Richardson, Kubek, and now he's working on Whitey Ford, 2-2, swing and a miss, he struck him out. And that'll be strikeout number two for the Pirate right-hander, Cheney. One away, top end of the Yankee batting order brings up Bob Serve, who had two base hits in the first inning, both singles and scored a run. And in the fourth inning, Serve bounced out to Don Hoke at third, and in the fifth inning, Bobby struck out. Yankees 10, Pirates nothing. One away, none on. Last half of seventh inning. And so far today, it's been another Yankee afternoon. The pitch to Bob Serve. Strike called as Cheney ripped that good fastball in. One strike to Bob. He kept it in on him right at the hands, maybe a little bit lower. Now Cheney in the move, and the one strike pitch coming down to Serve. It's tight again, and Serve shrugs back out of the way. One ball and one strike. Now the 1-1 pitch coming to Bob Serve. Cheney throws. Breaking pitch swung on. High fly ball out of the center field. Backing and setting up under it is center fielder Verdon. He makes the catch for the second out of the inning. Serve flies out to the center fielder. Well, here comes Yogi Berra. Berra has been up officially in this series eight times with two base hits, a .250 batting average, and he's knocked in two runs. Yogi Berra, batting now for Roger Maris, who was taken out after he injured his side in a collision at home plate. Through the year, Berra hit for .276, knocked in 62 runs, and had 15 home runs. Tom Cheney all ready to go. The Pirate right-hander throws. Swing and a line drive. Base hit. Beyond the outstretched glove of the shortstop into left center field. Fielded out there by Gino Cimoli. And Yogi Berra is on with another Yankee base knock. They're 16. Mickey Mantle has 4-for-4 today and 5 straight hits in his last 5 official at-bats. 6 hits in his last 7 at-bats, including 3 home runs and a double. And Mantle now is facing Cheney from the left-hand side of the dish, all ready to go. The Pirate right-hander kicks and throws, and Mantle looks at a breaking ball, and a strike is called. A good curveball from Cheney. Now the one-strike pitch to Mantle.
He started a swing and then held back on a sharp breaking curve that darted low and inside. The count now one ball and one strike to Mantle. Barra is the runner at first base for the Yankees, who this afternoon are every bit the Bombers of old. Now the 1-1 pitch to Mantle, who has four hits in four trips this afternoon. Pitch is low and inside, and a good save by the Pirate catcher, Hal Smith. 2-1 now to Mantle. By Mantle's own admission, he has stated that he doesn't realize what could be the trouble as a left-handed batter. He said, "I really don't know, but I just seem to freeze up there. I just can't seem to swing and pull the trigger the way I can as a right-handed batter." And hopes that next spring, Casey Stengel will allow him to hit only as a right-handed batter. Now the 2-1 to Mantle. Strike two called over the outside corner just above the knees. Some umpires have been quoted as saying that it appears to them that Mantle is not nearly so keen a judge of pitching from the left as a left-handed batter as he would be as a right-handed batter. They claim that he does not see pitches as well batting left-handed. Now the 2-2 to Mantle. Barra with a great big lead at first. The pitch is a strike. Three called. So Mantle is called out of strikes. For the Yanks, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one man left on. And now at the end of seven, the score, the New York Yankees 10, the Pittsburgh Pirates nothing.
Where'd you get that hat, sonny boy?
What do you mean? I'm the fire chief. Say, isn't this the car showroom that's on fire?
Not the showroom, chief. The customers. They're on fire with desire for GM's new special-sized car, the new Buick Special. It gives you the best of both worlds. Big car luxury and small car economy.
Buick Special. That's my car.
See, it's smaller than big, yet bigger than small. It's your car.
Buick Special size is the best size of all. It's my car.
For economical luxury, set your goal for.
It's worth fighting down that firehouse hole for.
Chances are you'll find your new car at the end. But there's more to choose from.
Gotta go.
Wait, what color shall we order your Buick Special in?
Red. What else?
As Don Hulk prepares to lead off for the Pirates in the top of the eighth inning, the official paid attendance has just been announced at Yankee Stadium. 70,001. 70,001. Official paid attendance this afternoon at the stadium. Here is Don Hope, the fellow the Pirates call the Tiger. Former boxer, former Marine, and one of the most competitive men in baseball today. He has twice flied out to the outfield, once to center fielder Mantle, and once to left fielder Bob Sir. Four deals, strike calls, says Mr. Joukowsky. The Pirates trailing 10-0 have got that seemingly impossible task facing them. A slow curve, that old dipsy-doo curveball came floating in on Hoke, and he was powerless to do much but watch it come in. Strike two is called. Beautiful pitch from Whitey Ford. Two strikes down to the Pirate leadoff hitter, Don Hoke. Ford throws, swinging a ground ball, trickles foul down the third base side. Two strikes. The Pittsburgh fans are only too well aware of how this team has had to battle back many times in the course of the National League pennant chase. And to say that they have done it successfully, of course, is one of the understatements of the year. But they've got a tremendous job facing them now. Here's the two-strike pitch swung on ground ball beat to third base. McDougal grabs off his shoe tops. Long throw to first is low, but Scourin, stretching out to the second base side, made a fine backhanded pickup, and that retires Don Hope. Earlier this year, the Pirates were stomped by the San Francisco Giants, 13-1 in a ball game, and the Pirates made seven errors. This is late in May, and then they moved down to Los Angeles and lost the first game, but then came on to win the next two over the Dodgers and then swept a three-game series from the Cardinals. A slow curve from Whitey Ford is outside high to Bill Mazeroski. Ball one. Mazeroski has one of the three Pirate safeties this afternoon. Ford brings the arm down, throws a fastball right through over the inside corner of the letters. One ball, one strike. The Yankee totals 10 runs on 16 base hits. All ready to go. The pitch, a slow curve, is low, hits in front of the plate, and the count now 2-1. Ford, for the most part, relying on the sharp breaking curveball, good changeup, and tremendous control. He's given up but one walk this afternoon, that to Cimoli in the seventh inning. Two balls, one strike, one out, none on. Ford throws, swing and a fly ball hit into center field. Mantle goes to his right a couple of steps, now walks in a little bit, and the Yankee center fielder makes the catch for the second out. Two up, two down. In the last two World Series ball games, the Yankees have scored a total of 26 runs on 35 base hits. Now let's see who the batter is going to be for the Pirates right now. It looks like Dick Schofield, and now as he bends over to take make use of that rosin bag in the on-deck circle, we get a check of the number, and that verifies the fact that it is Dick Schofield. Ducky Schofield, who after Grote was injured, sustaining a broken wrist on September the 6th, filled in for the Pittsburgh Pirates at shortstop and did a magnificent job. Schofield is 1-for-1 in the series, and he also has a walk. Right-hand batter, Whitey Ford, throws, swinging a line drive, caught by the shortstop, Kubek, for the final out. Three up and three down. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. And now at the end of 7 1/2 innings of play, the score, the New York Yankees, 10, Pittsburgh Pirates, nothing.
Big cars, small cars, any kind of all cars, your car, your car. Cause you get value and choice from GM.
More new cars to choose from at General Motors. Chevrolet and the new size Chevrolet, the Corvair. Pontiac and a new size Pontiac, the Tempest. Oldsmobile and a new size Oldsmobile, the F-85. Buick and a new size Buick, the Special. And Cadillac. Never before has one company offered so many cars to meet so many needs. That's why when you go to buy a new car, your car...
Chances are you'll find your new car at GM. Cause there's more to choose from. Value and choice from GM.
We pause 30 seconds for station identification.
Are you mixing with the best? Saratoga Vichy with the yellow label. With the yellow label.
Always ask for Saratoga Vichy, the mixer that's bubbling over with good spirits. And remember, Saratoga Vichy comes only in the bottle, the green bottle with the yellow label.
Saratoga Vichy,
yellow label.
Saratoga Vichy,
yellow label.
Saratoga Vichy.
WGY, WGFM, Schenectady.
Your attention, please. New hurler coming into the game now for the Pirates due to the pinch hitting of Dick Schofield is Joe Gibbon. A young southpaw who wasn't even on the Pirate roster in spring training has made the majors after only 3 years of minor league ball. For the second straight game now, the Pittsburgh Pirates have been forced to use a total of 6 pitchers, as Gibbon is pitcher number 6. And this young man was the pitcher of record when Mantle hit his record home run in the second game of the World Series at Forbes Field. The one that was the tape measure job out over the center field wall at Forbes Field. A tremendous blast that sent everybody a-talking and a-buzzing about it. And after Mantle returned to the Yankee dugout after that tremendous home run, the comment he got from his manager, Casey Stengel, was, "What's the matter with you? Can't you guide the ball right?" Because it was an opposite field home run. Well, here now is the leadoff hitter, Bill Scourin, and he takes the ball inside from the lefty, Gibbon. Gibbon. Given on the year for the Pittsburgh Pirates, 1-4 and lost 2. Pitch is down low now to Bill Scarron, 2-0. Yankees 10, Pirates nothing. Ball down low and inside, and the young southpaw really cut that one loose. Al Smith couldn't stop it. Went right on through. Three balls, one strike down. Yankee leadoff hitter Bill Scarron. The big moose. Swing and a miss. And a strike two now. The fastball thrown by southpaw Gibbon seemed to be sinking quite a little bit. Scarron had a fine year for the Yankees this year, and he was delighted over the fact that he was able to play so many ball games. He only missed 8 for the Yankees all season. The pitch, swing and a high pop fly down the right field side, fading foul now, and it's back among the spectators. And the count continues, 3-2 to Scarron. We would like to remind you again that tomorrow afternoon's fourth game here at Yankee Stadium will begin at 2 o'clock. We will be on at 1:45 Eastern Daylight Time. Now your 3-2 pitch to Scarron. Swing and a high fly ball down the right field line, fading toward the foul line. Chasing goes Clemente, and it's going to be a foul ball now at the very last moment, down near the foul pole in the deep right field corner. Here at this great big stadium, it's 296 feet tight down the right field foul line, and the barrier down there is just under 4 feet high in front of the box seats. And again, Gibbon ready to go with a 3-2 pitch to Scarron. Here it is. Swing ground ball hit toward the shortstop. There's Grode. He makes the pickup and the quick throw to first in time to retire Scarron. One up and one down as Scarron grounds out to short. The batter now, Gil McDougal. In the 6-run Yankee first inning, McDougal drew a walk to load the bases. And then Elston Howard had an infield hit toward third to drive in a run. And then Bobby Richardson unloaded them all with a grand slam home run. First pitch coming down to right-hand batting McDougal. Gibbon throws a ball. Al Smith seems to be just a trifle unhappy over the call momentarily. That's the sort of a feeling and an air that continues from the very beginning of spring training right on through the World Series. Pitch is swung on and fouled into the mezzanine level behind the plate here. One ball and one strike to McDougal. One out, none on. Gibbon into the move now, and the Pirate southpaw throws. Pitch swung on, well hit to center field. Back goes Verdon, still backing. Now he turns, goes a little bit to his left, and makes the catch for the second out of the inning. McDougal flies out fairly deep to center fielder Bill Verdon. Two down now, and the batter is Elston Howard, who's had a pair of infield hits this afternoon in 4 official at-bats. The Yankees 10 and the Pirates nothing. Yankees batting last half of the 8th inning. Two out, none on. And young Joe Gibbon into the move now. The left-hander throws, missing inside to the right-hand batting Howard, ball one. Now the 1-0, Howard takes a look. This one's down low for a ball two, 2-0. Insofar as pitchers tomorrow, it appears that Yankee manager Casey Stengel will go with Ralph Terry. Now your 2-0 pitch to Howard. Swing and a foul ball on the screen behind the plate, and the count is 2-1. Pirate manager Danny Murtaugh has made it known that he has made his pitching choice for tomorrow, but he does not intend to announce it until later. Two out, none on. Two balls, one strike to Elston Howard. Gibbon into that free-flowing wind. The youngster throws a little tight to Ellie, and he had to jump back out of the way. Narrowly missed being hit by the ball. 3-1. Three balls, one strike. Two out, none on. Gibbon now into the move, and the 3-1 pitch coming to Elston Howard. It's a ball just outside. And the young left-hander has given up his first walk. And that brings out the young fellow who established a new World Series record today with 6 runs batted in a single game. Richardson, all ready to go. This will be his 5th at-bat this afternoon, and he has a home run with the bases loaded and a single to show for it, plus the 6 runs batted in. Swing and a high pop-up off the first base side of the infield. Second baseman Mazeroski to his left backs off in the outfield grass and makes the catch for the final out. The Yankees in the 8th inning. No runs, no base hits, no pirate errors. 1 man left. And now, at the end of 8 full innings of play, the score, the New York Yankees 10, Pittsburgh Pirates nothing.
You get more value, more choice when your car is from General M.
General M? Is he with Grant or Lee?
Step into the showroom, Dad. I'm talking about General Motors and the new 61 Chevy Corvair. It gives you more. More space for your luggage, more space for you. More get up and go. Economical, too. It's a car for people with young ideas.
Good! Corvair is my car.
This engine, in fact, is the Corvair. It's hustle, your car.
Like a gal with a bustle. My car.
With more space and spunk, steers light as a thistle.
Come on up the trunk, Corvair, it's the girl's whistle.
Chances are you'll find your new car at GM. Cause there's more to choose from. Value and choice from GM.
Well, Dad, how do you feel now?
Better put me in this Chevy Corvair fast, son, before I'm too young to have a driver's license.
Ready now for the Pirate 9th inning. And it's the top end of the batting order. Bill Verdon, Dick Grote, and Roberto Clemente in that order. The applause you hear below us greets the departure of the former president, Herbert Hoover. Here is Verdon, who has 1 of 3 Pirate base hits allowed by Yankee left-hander Whitey Ford this afternoon. Now the Indian Prime Minister Nehru is leaving, and that's what causes the stir in the crowd below us. Well, back to the ball game. Whitey Ford throws, Verdon swings, ground ball is hit right to the first baseman Scour, and he's up with it, tosses to the pitcher covering at first in plenty of time to get Verdon for the first out in the 9th inning. One up, one down. Verdon, first ball hitting, grounds to the first baseman Scourin, who flipped to Whitey Ford for the first out. And now the batter, Dick Grote, who has 3 times this afternoon bounced out to the infield. Once to second, once to third, and then Whitey Ford made a dandy play to get him in the 4th inning. National League batting champion, and he won it in the most courageous of all possible manners. The pitch to Grote is inside for a ball. I doubt that many would have questioned his right to the title had he elected to sit it out the last couple of games of the year and not try out the broken wrist that had mended. But this young man wanted to win that title right up there at the plate, and he did so. Here's a strike call down to Dick Grote. 1 ball and 1 strike. 1 out in the Pirate half of the 9th inning. None on. The Yankees lead it 10-0. And Ford throws a curveball that's too low for a ball. 2-1 now. It is expected that manager Stengel will pitch Ralph Terry tomorrow. That, however, is not a 100% certainty. 2 balls, 1 strike to Grote. 1 out, none on. Ford into the move. He throws. There's a drive hit to the right side of the first baseman Scourin. A beautiful backhanded grab. He recovers, throws to Ford, covering at first base, and that'll be the second out of the inning. And a dandy defensive play by first baseman Bill Scourin, who went quickly to his right, reached out and backhanded the ball, which incidentally was very well hit. Kind of a line drive that took maybe 1 skidding hop off to the right of Scourin. And then he recovered and threw to Whitey Ford in time to get to Dick Grote. 2 out in the top of the ninth. And Clemente has got to do something, or the Yankees will take over a 2-1 lead in games. And then if Clemente does something, a lot of other people will have to join him. Here's a swing and a ground ball back through the middle, and it's going to be into center field for the base hit. So Clemente, keen business here in this ninth inning on a ground single to center field. He picked on the Whitey Ford curveball and banged it right back through the middle. The batter now is Dick Stewart, who has one hit in three trips this afternoon. Stewart took a third strike call in the second inning, flied out to right in the fourth inning, single to center in the seventh. Whitey Ford working on a four-hit shutout with two out and a runner at first in the top of the ninth. Stewart takes a strike call. This Ford ripped one across the inside corner right at the hands. Although Ford may not be able to throw as he once did, he still now and then can reach back and get a little extra on that fastball. And he ripped that one in fine style. All ready to go now. The one strike pitch to Stewart. Swinging a ground ball right at the shortstop. Kubek is in front of it. He bobbles the ball. And all hands are safe. Kubek bobbled the ball, and Clemente is safe at second. Stewart is on at first. The error is charged to Kubek, the Yankee shortstop, allowing Clemente to move into second base. That's the first error in the ball game. Kubek misplays the ground ball hit by Dick Stewart, and now with two down, the Pirates have runners at first and second, and the batter is Gino Cimoli. Right-hand batting left fielder. Stewart, forward throw, swinging a ground ball is fouled outside of third, strike one. The error a moment ago by Kubek is the fourth committed by the Yankees in the series so far. One strike to Cimoli, who flying to left, bounced out to second, and drew a walk. Ford all ready to go down. Throws, swinging a mean line foul into the box seats off the first base side. A mean line foul. I hope everyone's all right down there. It appears that they're okay, but that's the kind of a foul ball that rips in there, and you just haven't got a chance. Sometimes, even when you're looking right at the ball, you're powerless to do anything about it. Two strikes to Cimoli. Everyone in that area seems to be okay. Now the two-strike pitch forward into the abbreviated stretch, sets, checks, and throws. He struck him out, a swing of this, and Cimoli goes down, and the ball game is all over. In the ninth inning, for the Pittsburgh Pirates, no runs, one base hit, one Yankee error, and two men are left on. And the score, the final score, after 8 1/2 innings of play, it's the New York Yankees 10 and the Pittsburgh Pirates nothing. And the Yankees now, with a 10-0 victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates, take over a 2-1 lead in games.
And now, this is Jack Quinlan for Chuck Thompson, reminding you to tune in tomorrow afternoon at 1:45 Eastern Daylight Time for the fourth game of this exciting 1960 World Series, brought to you by the General Motors Corporation and the Gillette Safety Razor Company.